Yeah, people get ready to talk about these curs up in here. But welcome to the show. I'm one of your critiques, Corey Coleman, and I'm high off that octane known as caffeine. How you doing, sir?
Doing all right.
What's your name, boy?
Gertz.
Gertz up in here.
You got to go through the Rolodex.
Yeah, Gertz. It's Gertz.
Witness protection. Oh, yeah. You got it.
I caught you off guard. What is my name? Over here, the dapperest critique we got here today and forever. Martin Thomas, why you shake your head?
Dapperest?
That is not a word.
That is a word today and forever. Oh, and also we have Mr. Goodwin.
Hey.
Always trendy, always stylish Goodwin. Wearing my favorite shirt today. Doom Brown. Charlie Doom.
Emmett Brown.
But people, we are going to be talking about a few movies tonight. Some that you want us to, and, well, they didn't give us a screening for them. But what we do have that they gave us screenings for, we have what they say the one that's going to drive Wonder Woman out the spotlight. Got that Cars 3. Everybody's wanting to know what happened to Lightning since they saw that teaser. Lightning! But also we're going to have comedy for y'all tonight, the raunchy comedy. You know, women getting more and more on that. And this one, we have Rough Night with an all-star cast of great actresses and comedians. And bring you the culture with the independent film. Got that Beatrice. She come to dinner. Beatrice at dinner. Not very comfortable, but and you know what? That's the kind of movie you like, Martin.
Yeah, you know me.
No, I know you too well. We're going to see if Martin is if that actually met your uncomfortable level that you enjoy. But before we get started on anything, first of all, I want to just let my baby in the house, Diego, the latchkey kid. Good to see you, Diego. Brought his lunch today at root beer and bananas.
Jesus, man.
I mean, he brought a whole bunch of bananas in here too.
Oh, why are you acting like that's not weird?
Yeah. Yeah, what about it? Root beer and bananas.
He's all laid back.
I know.
That's right. I'm the king of root beer bananas. What, you guys jealous over there?
Yeah, full of I
can share.
Exactly, full of sugar and potassium over there. How you doing, man? Good to see you. And he said tonight that he's high on life. So I'm over there. You know, I look after my kids.
Oh, is that a strain of it now? Life,
yeah.
Life Kush.
Yeah. I think you injected.
A lot of homeless people are doing it.
I asked him today, okay, went to the coffee shop, and I just saw him over there dazed. I said, like, you know, looking after my boy. I said, are you high, boy? And he's like, no, man, I'm high on life. And I was like, yeah, that's what all the drug addicts say.
By life, I mean that shit.
Yeah. It's like, well, where you get that life from in that alley over there? But how you doing? And now he's a good kid. He's straight. He told me, what'd you say? Straight edge. You don't do nothing. You don't do nothing but bananas and root beer, really. So, good to see you, though. And also, glad to see you doing all right, though. I'm raising you well. And let me see. We have over here the rest of the crew, not in here in the studio, but the crew, meaning you, the people out there known as the backbone of this community, this business, this website. Of course, I am referring to the chat a tat tat with them evil Gertz hands right there. Pancakes! Pancakes!
His evil plan has come together.
The batter! Yeah, everybody talking about them pancakes when I told everyone about that pancake mix I got as my gift. You know what? And we were talking yesterday, go watch the show, the weekly Roast and Toast. We were talking about how you doing? We were talking about Brian. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Brian. We were joking about how he just got back to California. he just got back to California.
Yeah, he took Greyhound.
Yeah,
I knew that wasn't a joke.
Yeah, today, like he left. What was it? Was it Sunday or
Monday?
It was a Monday. Well, yeah, he just got back in. Told me, yeah, I'm safe. And I guess he was listening to the show because he's like, yeah, I'm glad you like the pancakes. So,
I'm glad he's still alive.
Yeah, I am too, man. I am too. And somebody said Diego lives there now. Yeah, he does. Pretty much. I can't get rid of him.
But he's quiet.
He is quiet.
That's true.
He's the anti-Felix.
Oh, no.
He gets over there, he just sinks into that couch. You don't hear no more out of him. He'll give me a fact if I need to know it, because he'll look up something, but only when he has to. You know, I wish Felix is, you know, you're the son that I've always wanted.
The good son.
The good son. Felix.
Felix, yeah. Are killing animals around you. Look out.
Yeah, I failed with
you're
Felix.
You're Elijah Wood. He's Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. Yeah, I failed with Felix. But you, son, you're the good one. Yeah,
you're the hero the studio needs, not the one it deserves.
Save the best for last. And, hey, we're going to be talking to you guys, too. Now, I've already introduced the chat-a-tat-tat, but, of course, I'm talking about the people who cannot make it in here with us today, who would probably like to be here. And don't worry, we got you. Like I always said, we would love to have you here in person, and we'll talk about how you can be. But if you can't, if you absolutely can't, well, we love you so much that we make it possible for you to be here through the power of technology and the internet. So please pull out a keyboard and type in for me, kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmans. @gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the extravaganza this evening, in that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there. Anything else you think we might need, press in. Bam! Up in your home criticizing you, the only critics in the world who do them house calls. On the Twitter @KCoolMan. On the Instagrams @DoubleToastedFanpage. On the Facebooks, type in Double Toasted. Now, you can see right there that if you would like some private critique time with me, simply type in Corey.Coleman.5. If I'm too busy critiquing, well, I guess this Corey is better than nothing.
You can find me on Facebook. Or you can find me on Twitter on twitch.tv, the high score DT, all one word, or on Instagram, DB Cooper KG P. Gertz.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz, Twitter, Patrick Gertz @PGertz, and on Instagram @PGertz, Cat Daddy Thomas.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram @Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
Or you can come in here and be with us in person. Bring that live flesh and blood down here to the world famous Double Toasted Studios with Diego on the couch. And you know what it is, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Email me if you are planning to visit Austin. Bring some pancake mix with you. We'll have a slumber party. You might be already moving to Austin because it's so cool, or you might already be living in Austin and didn't tell nobody. Change that. kcoolmans@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know. You know how we do. You email me, I email you back. We'll coordinate with each other, and that way we all can accommodate you. Oh, put some stank on it, Martin Thomas. Oh, it's going to be a good evening. Good evening with everybody. What the fuck? Oh, why Skull just getting, I love it because it's still funny, but Skull just putting up random shit. He said, when Corey don't see that nigga, he owes money to coming. What? Why?
What's the context of that?
I don't know what the context is, but it's got me worried. Do I owe somebody money? I don't know. I guess we'll find out when I get put in that sleeper hole right there. It looked like you choking me, girl.
Yeah, it does.
Let's see here, though. You know what? Tell you what, I don't mind. I don't mind if y'all come here and want to choke me out, as long as you come here and celebrate with us for the Double Toasted third year anniversary weekend celebration. You know, that's going to be on the weekend of August 4th through the 7th. We would love to see you here for the celebration, including the shows, the games, the lunches, the brunches, the meet and greets, all this good stuff for you. And we are selling tickets right now for $25 for 72 hours of fun. We would love to see you here to help celebrate with us. 3 years we've been here. That's a milestone for us, and we would love for you to be here with us as we celebrate. So please, get your tickets now. Go to partydt.com, and it'll take you to the Eventbrite page that I just showed you right there, and it'll tell you information, all the information you need, with more coming on the party. Now, Let's see what else we got going on here. I think that's all the announcements. Oh, no. You know what? I found it. The Chicago Toasties. The page finally came up and we stopped the show. I got an email from one of the Toasties saying that they're getting this together. And for people who are interested in having a Chicago get-together, or the get-together that they're already putting together at the moment, there's a Facebook page up there, and you can just go to facebook.com/Chicago Toasties. That's all one word, Chicago Toasties, and it'll take you right there. Now, my recommendation was I would not try to spend any money or ask people for money if this is the first one. Usually people want to go to these things for free, but just be warned that they are asking for a donation of $20. So that they can get the venue and some other things. So I'll let y'all settle that. Hopefully some people will give the money and it'll be worthwhile for you. But
well, they might have some good plan. Don't undermine it.
No, I'm not undermining it at all. I'm just letting people know just ahead of time, because you know how people are. $20, shit, I ain't paying that shit. New York didn't cost nobody nothing. Nobody, hey.
That's the cheap people we know.
Yeah, exactly. And this ain't New York. This is Chicago, bitch. So please, you know, go ahead and just hear them out and see what they say. And maybe, just maybe, you will have a lot of fun with the money you invest in that. Now, I think that is. And how's everybody doing this evening? Y'all all right? And what happened?
Oh, just with the allergies. I took some medication, which it didn't kick in till halfway through the show last night. And I spent the whole day just like barely being able to keep my eyes open. And I can feel it wearing off.
Oh, no.
But I still got a little bit of that grogginess.
Oh, do you need to go run and get some coffee? I'll let you get some. I will hold it down if you want to go get some coffee.
It's
you
a trap. I feel like it's a trap, too.
Your ass shouldn't have been out there drinking that beer, but I walked out of the door and Martin was just sitting on, he was sitting on the steps like looking like a jazz singer out there.
Doo-wop.
He just needed
the brown paper bag.
Yeah. He just needed to throw the black man out there to do some doo-wop with him.
I was respecting your studio.
What's that?
I was respecting your studio and not drinking it.
Man, you could have drank it. No, you wouldn't have
bought it. Bullshit. That's the trap right there.
I would know it wasn't. He was out there on them steps too. He should have had a saxophone in his hand or something. He had a bottle of beer.
Good one. Back me up. Do we drink in the studio or do we not?
No, we do not.
You know what? No, we don't. But you know something? Okay. See, this started out as a good thing, man. Why you turn this shit around to make it about rules and shit? I was going to
Man, I respect your rule.
No, you do. You do. And that's what I'm saying. If you want to go get some coffee right now.
It's all right.
No. Because you know what? This will help everybody. You know, I want you to be awake. I want you to be alert. I want you to give Lightning McQueen the respect that he deserves.
He'll get the respect he deserves. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Okay. Now, see, I want y'all. Did you see what I just did? Did you see what I just did?
Man, don't.
Did you see what I just did?
I think we all saw it.
I offered to let him go get some coffee. Said I will hold it down. We got three people right here. I tried. Now, don't want to hear this shit about me like cracking down on people and being strict and everything.
This is your friend. I don't know him. This is your friend.
Somebody says always a trap with Colby.
Yeah. The chat even worked up here. They know what the deal is.
The chat said, don't do it, Martin. Sit.
No.
Sit.
I've been at this too long.
You sure, man? You mm-hmm. sure?
Diego could go get coffee.
Diego, you want some coffee? Okay. Yeah.
He looking like, yeah.
Now, you want to, yeah, tell you what.
No, I don't want it.
He's like, he don't trust him with his car.
No. Mm-hmm.
All right, you sure? Well, I'm doing all kinds of things.
Because the show will be done, and then I won't be able to go to sleep.
But will you be able to perform tonight for
us? I can perform.
I'm sounding like we're about to have sex. Are you going to be able to perform tonight? I want you hard for this, man. I want you erect for this show.
Three.
For Cars 3. A dick's out for Cars 3. Somebody said, Martin. Put this in here. Skull, somebody said, Martin, when he saw Corey, they got a dude drinking right there. Like, oh, shit.
I know. The guy looks like, oh, my boss just walked in.
Yeah, man. Out there on the stoop. Drinking that beer, man.
New Jack City.
Yeah.
Next to a flaming barrel. Well, I could have gone out there with our buddy, the homeless guy.
Oh, yeah. He's out there.
He's back?
Yeah, he's back.
He wasn't there when I came in, but the other night I left.
He even asked me. I told him, too, based on what you said. because he got offended because I was walking in. If you don't know, we have – I hate to say it because this is a very prime part of town. This is some very prime real estate right here. Like downtown is right across the street.
Right.
And it's just getting more gentrified around here every day. So it is not a good look. It doesn't sound good when you have homeless people just, you know, squatting.
Yeah.
Literally squatting, taking shits around here, you know.
No, actually, somebody did take a human shit in the alleyway because I saw it sitting out there when I walked over here.
I almost stepped in it. I was like, oh!
Why are they all doing Mario like that? You see him getting hit by that cam? Bam! Why y'all doing them like that? But no, nah, man, I didn't. We about to get into the show in a little bit, but yeah, Mia walked. I think I told you about this. She walked in pissed one day when we were in the other studio because I heard her yelling at Mojo, "Get in here, get in!" I was like, "Why are you yelling at him like that? You jump on me when I do that!" And it was like she was horrified. She said, "Are you sure you know what he did?" I was like, "What did he do? He rubbed his face in shit." He rubbed his face in human shit, and once she said that, I just caught the smell. I was like, "Yep, that's human shit."
And y'all kiss him in the mouth all the time.
I don't do that shit. No, that's her that does that. No, I don't do that at all, man. You know, I mean, on special occasions,
yeah. You know, like on his birthday,
yeah, and like when he's got shit on his face.
Yeah, yeah. Chocolate coming to him in blackface. Came in with human shit on his face and white gloves on his paws.
Mojo, no.
Well, y'all do like to dress him up.
Yeah. Oh, she spent a whole 2 days getting together a little flower necklace for Pixie for our wedding. Yeah. Hey, and
make sure y'all get pictures of that.
Are you not gonna be there?
I'll be there, but I won't. I'll
you be the minister. That's right.
Yeah, she. And she put the collar on, and that dog was just like, "Get this fucking thing off me."
Yeah.
That's like, this dog don't even want this on there. But no, nah, man, I walked out there and I saw him. And when I opened the door, he's like, hey, man, hey, I don't bother you here, dude. And I was like, well, yeah, of course you do. You're from the
especially
fucking doorstep.
Especially when you're jerking off.
But that's what I said. I said, nah, you really don't bother me unless you're over here jacking off. And he's like, man, I don't do that around here. I mean, somebody said, man, we had a conversation with the dude. I said, somebody told me they caught you. Man, who that? I'm like, what? Who that? I'm like you gonna know.
If I go out there, it was me.
Yeah.
You sick fuck.
Go out there, stump his ass.
I don't know, man. He might be waiting around the corner for you.
Yeah. I hope not.
No. Why you gotta drop a dime on me like that?
That's the signs of the lamb shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Retribution.
Yeah. Throw that Spider-Man webbing on you. Fuck.
No snitching.
Snitches get jizz. Shit don't even run. Man, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, man. So we if you come here, I don't want to tell the guy to leave because I just feel bad doing that. You know, I mean, my life is good. He don't have anywhere to go. So what?
No, I mean, he wasn't as aggressive as that one dude was when we left like 2 weeks ago when we were out there talking. And this motherfucker is sleeping in the street and we're talking in the public spot. And he's like, can y'all keep it down? He was like, what?
Man, he's not lying.
That's insane.
It's
Austin.
This motherfucker fell asleep. I mean, just like he just dropped
at the front
at
door,
the front
not
door.
The back door alley. It's like, all right, I understand if you back here, but like at the front door,
at the front. And that, and all these guys were talking, and we were, and it was, you know, it was late, and everybody was like, yeah, man, great to see you, thanks for coming by. And he had the nerve, keep it down. Not can you please keep it down, but keep it down. And we kept it down because we all looked at him like, motherfucker, you serious?
It's like, this is my not house. Yeah. Keep it down out here.
Yeah. Oh, make me go to my trunk and get my gasoline canister out of this.
Damn.
I'll keep it down.
Call TJ. He'll handle it.
Oh, yeah. The homeless beater.
There was that one night we came back from Casino El Camino on Sunday, and you had to go back in here, and there was a dude blocking the door.
That's the dude.
Yeah, it was the same guy.
White guy?
I think so.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, uh-huh. For 2 days he seemed like I'm moving.
Well, yeah.
Wait, is he that dirty that when you say white guy, Gertz has to go like, yeah, I think so.
Yes, he was a filthy motherfucker, and I was from far away. So, and it was late.
yeah. But he had one of them Family Guy falls where he was down on the ground, his body was just twisted. Comes up and tell us to be quiet. I got mad about
like,
that.
He had
shit,
like
man.
His feet. Propped up on the wall in front of the door. Like, it was bad.
Yeah. Like, we inconveniencing him. Fuck you. Anyway, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, you talk a lot of shit now that he's not here. No,
but I came out like, excuse me.
Well, no, he came it down.
He was talking shit when we came back. We came back from, what was that, Violet Crown?
Yeah.
And he's like, are we being quiet enough for you? We opened the door slowly. I'm like, I was being a dick.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. You were a little drunk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was.
Drunk man don't play.
No, yeah, when I get that juice up in me, oh hell no.
He's like, how much fast for line? 450. Chug.
Oh, I was there last night. I took those dudes over there and I got, last night was like a Friday, man. I got fucked up.
Last night?
Yeah, because I was hanging out with the guys who came here.
Nick and Travis.
And I bought them some. No, they bought me some drinks, and I bought them some drinks, and then Mia called, and I can tell when she's drunk. Baby, you know where are you at? Come hang out. And went and hung out with her, and because it was her, along with this other girl that we know, and they both were wearing hot pants and shit. I went there and nothing but fucking dudes at this table.
So they just all turn into cartoon wolves. I bet.
Yeah, man. I ran over there and like, and I mean, they scattered like pigeons. I'm like, yeah, get out of here, yeah. And they all flew away.
I'm gonna get her later.
Yeah, because they got this one girl that works again. This girl from Pakistan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, one girl, them tech girls that I told you about that. You know, she's all professional and dressed real conservative during the day, but at night when she was out there, I even told her, I said, you look all right when you slutting it up. And she wasn't even mad. She's like, oh, I can't stop it.
You say the kindest things.
Oh, tell me more about my ass. But yeah, sitting over there, and they just talking to these dudes like I don't even exist. I actually got a little jealous.
Hey, man, that was free drinks.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm about to say, if you out with a gang of girls around you buying you drinks, I'm like, all right, shit. I ain't got nobody.
And there was one dude that was all over her. And I'm not even lying. You can ask her about it. Mm-hmm. There was one dude who was all hugged up on her, had her all drawn in. And the only reason why I didn't get mad is because the dude was so small that she was cradling him. It was a little 21-year-old kid.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, baby, can we keep him? I was like, put that thing away. Get out of here. Yeah! Get on out of here. But yeah, people. So we're getting ready to get started here with the show. And let's see. Now, before we get started with our first review tonight, which is going to be Cars 3, let me see what people think that we're going to do here. I put up some polls, you know, for the big guy. Don't put that up there. Because I looked at that shit and it scrolled up and I was like, oh, it's a fucking dude. Y'all racist too, man. Look at that Pakistani girl in shorts. Oh, man, that ain't right. Let's see here. Let's see. They mad too. Fuck you, Skull. Let's go ahead and look at the polls that we have here tonight and see what everybody's going to think about Cars 3 or what they think we're going to give it. I'm going to refresh this, and people say that I'm going to give this a rental. They say that you're also going to give this a rental, Martin. They say that Goodwin will give it a rental, and that Gertz. I thought they would have voted you for some bullshit.
Yeah,
but they
said so too.
I thought it was going to be better than sex.
Yeah. for me and him.
For him.
Yeah, let me see here, people. But let's go ahead and get started with the Cars review. Now, that teaser got people because it was that teaser where Lightning McQueen, that is, he went flipping up in the air and it was in slow motion. It was all dark and gritty out there. And I don't have that particular clip, but I do have that one word that someone screamed out. And it was the word that was heard around the world that day. And people were saying, what's wrong with Lightning?
Cornbread!
Ricky! See lightning running. Yeah, you know, it was the most dramatic thing that we've seen in the Cars universe. And people were actually worried. They're like, man, I ain't never seen Cars like this before. And what happened here is that the reason why it's so dark, the reason why things look so grim is because all these years, it's been fun and games with the happy-go-lucky Lightning McQueen. Lightning McQueen, he's a legend, wins every race. You know, he had a little bit of trouble when he went to Radiator Falls, the answer that got us that win over there. The
Smart Schmodown.
Smile.
Yeah, Mark, I don't even like Cars. Go watch the Schmodown. Y'all know the movie trivia show, the Schmoes do, the Schmoville. Mark don't even like Cars, but he came through with that Radiator Springs. That's where Lightning McQueen went.
Had to get his mojo back.
Yeah, get his mojo back. And now they're saying, oh, but that mojo might be gone. You know, this time, Lightning McQueen, not only does it seem like his time has come and life is passing him by because it's a different era, but it's also at the point where he's up against the new breed, the young punks out there mm-hmm. who are faster and better and slicker than he is.
And more dickish.
And way more dickish. Way more ass talk. Way more shit than Lightning McQueen ever could. And now, with the Car series, y'all know it's no secret. Not only do we dislike it, we loathe that series. At least I do. I've never looked at a children's film and uttered those words. You know what? Fucking grow up.
Damn, man.
And can I say why? Because look, if it's any other children's film out there, any other family film, fine. I'm not gonna judge it that hard. But when it's something that's by Pixar,
sure, you expect a certain level of quality.
They have a standard of excellence.
You got a standard to live up to. Mm-hmm. And when you start releasing some things that are subpar, and it's got that Pixar name, because they've done some things that Pixar don't mind them having a misstep every now and then, but to blatantly come out with a cash grab, because Cars, the series, the movies, both one and two, you know, they compared to the other properties that Pixar have come out with. The reason why I said grow up is because Cars, to me, they've been probably the most immature and unimaginative of all of the
sure,
Pixar movies.
Because they all aim low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Car series has never, I don't mind it like being something for kids, but they never tried to get to the emotional complexity that the other Pixar movies do.
Almost all the other movies do.
And that's why I hate, not even for a Pixar movie, I hate Cars 2. I can't stand.
You don't like Mater?
Man.
Oh, way up off recoil.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah. The hell with Mater.
I love how with the second movie, they say, okay, this time we're going to get rid of all the other cast except for the one cast member you hate the most.
Yeah.
We're going to feature him prominently. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll make you like him.
Right. Yeah, no, with this.
I bet you won't.
You know, I have never, I've never hated a movie as much, as I have, like, Cars 2, when you put it in perspective. Because with Cars 2, that was the one where, that really was a cash grab. It was the one where, you know, Pixar was just kind of like, man, you know, we just need the money right now. Not that we need the money. We just want to get some money. I know the studio needs a new coffee maker.
We want to make we've ran the numbers, and we see that another Cars movie is going to make us money. We got no ideas for it.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Bob Lasseter.
Make one.
Yeah.
Do something.
Bob Lasseter, he needs another boat, you know, doing research for his Talking Boat movie. You know, I don't know. Yeah. You know, with it, it is definitely the worst of the Pixar movies that we've seen, because it's just a straight to DVD story that's even lazy for an average children's film.
Listen, this isn't Radiator Springs.
These Americans are clearly master spies.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Go, McQueen!
10-4, Mater. I'm on approach.
Roger that.
There he is.
He's getting away!
A spy parody? a straight to DVD spy parody.
That's what you do with a character when it's been around for nearly two decades and you've completely run out of ideas, but you know you want to make the movie.
Yeah. This was the movie that Pixar made when they got drunk one night. And they got up and they're like, we made that shit?
They had a deadline.
We did. That's, I don't know who that studio is, but that's definitely not us.
You know? That's our pick. Yeah. We don't know them.
Yeah. Look at these assholes trying to copy us. That was us. What?
That was me. Yeah, they're looking at it on the phone. This is what you did last night. What? We made this shit? Yeah, you know, it's that's why I say, you know, when looking at the what they've done now, it took some time to finally get it right. And with this, I do think they got some levels of it right. And the reason why is because it's all about maturity. And by maturity, I mean, yeah, old. Because that's the whole theme of this. You know, Lightning McQueen in this, he's going through he's Rocky Balboa right before Creed. You know, he's that athlete where he's thinking like, you know, just one more. Just one more fight, one more race. You know, I got to get out there and I got to prove myself. And, you know, he doesn't want to admit that he can't hang anymore with these young punks. Man, I don't know what that knocking is. Can you shut that door for me right there? I don't know if somebody.
I thought he had shut it.
No, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I thought there was somebody at the door.
I thought there was somebody at the door.
And I was sitting there getting irritated. I couldn't even focus on what you were saying. So I was like, who the fuck?
Leave us alone.
Yeah, I went and checked the door. There was nobody there.
Yeah, no, I think somebody's hammering.
No, somebody's hammering something there. Yeah. No, it is. No, it's, with this, you know, it's all about that he won't admit that he's old and he can't hang out with these young punks no more. And what I like about this is that for a movie that's really meant for kids and families, and usually they have to sugarcoat messages so it won't be so hard. To me, they ain't no sugarcoating it right here. With this, when they tell Steve McQueen, or Lightning McQueen rather, I keep doing that.
Don't do that. Okay.
I know.
Steve McQueen is dead.
I know.
Unless you're looking at the one who directed 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, exactly. No, they are telling him that, you know, no, it's not that you were just old for an athlete. You are old, period. You know, this whole thing that you want to go out and you want to do one more, you need to get that out your mind, because you can't hang with these other guys out here. And a lot of people are telling him straightforward. You know, he's got his new trainer who's going to help him out, which is Cruz Ramirez, played by a voice by Christina Alonso. And she's trying to actually be nice about it. But the message is there. You're not too old to just race anymore. You're just plain too old.
Did you say Lightning McQueen was here? Because I don't see him anywhere.
But he's right here. Do you know to see him?
Nope. Still don't see him.
He's right in front of you. It's Lightning McQueen.
He's obviously an imposter.
God damn it! Look, he's out here!
And you're an Italian stereotype.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit, bitch! He's here! He's panicked, man! What kind of shit you on?
Looks old and broken down.
Hey.
And with flabby tires.
I do not.
Use that!
Whoa. Oh, yeah, I see. I can use that energy for motivation, right?
It's all about motivation, Mr. McQueen. You can use anything negative as fuel to push through to the positive.
I've been pretty positive ever since I was a rookie.
I am so excited that I get to train you. I grew up watching you on TV.
Huh. Is that right?
These young guys are great and all, but I like a challenge.
I'm not that much older.
In fact,
but
I call you my senior project.
Shut the fuck up. Come over here. I'll show you my senior project.
Did it strike a nerve with you? After going to Playlist Live, did you feel like Lightning McQueen?
I think we were all looking at you during this whole movie.
Oh, no. That's the thing. I'm not an athlete. I ain't never felt so happy to not play basketball. I was like, I can sit in front of this mic and do this all day long, forever. And if my hands don't work, I'll get your hands to do it. Switch camera too. You know, I like that this was something where they just kept hammering that in. You know, and throughout the movie, they don't let up. You get the feeling like, wow, man, they are. This is, no matter how positive things look for him, you just feel like when everybody keeps hammering that message home, things are not going to work out for Lightning McQueen, who's voiced by Owen Wilson. From the first two movies. I get the feeling that y'all ain't feeling this, though, too much. Did you at least like the message, though, that they were putting out there?
I'll say this. While I think this is better than Cars 2, because what isn't? and the way you phrase everything about the message and all, I go like, yeah, on paper, that sounds fine. But the actual delivery and the execution of it, I didn't like this movie at all.
Oh yeah, you know, and that's I see that, and I kind of was feeling like you at certain points, but the thing that kept bringing me back in on this, and you saw this too, right?
Yes.
You know, I'm gonna get to you guys in a little bit. I want to take one at a time because I want to put too much out there, but I can tell you, I was feeling like Martin. And you can already tell that maybe Martin and I are starting, you know, part ways. Like, you know,
Fast and Furious.
We in our own cars. Yeah.
See you again.
Yeah. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker just going their separate ways. You know, but I know I keep harping on this message, but there were so many ways it worked in this movie. Even with some of the shadiest characters that you normally shouldn't dislike, I often felt like they had a point. Nathan Fillion.
Sure.
Fillion, he played Sterling, Mr. Sterling in this. And one of the things I liked about that is that the movie doesn't let up on Lightning McQueen, where he's supposed to be the hero. The movie keeps saying, you know, don't feel sorry for this dude. At least that's the way I felt. They never gave you reason to feel sorry for him, because they make a good, they make the a great argument for retirement. And when you and you get the feeling that even though there might be other motives there for the people that want to use Lightning McQueen, you always feel like it's for the best. At telling him, man, you know, just sit down, shut the fuck up, and just get this money, man. You know, that's what retirement is for. You're a legend now. You ain't got to keep going. You ain't got nothing to prove.
Movie deals, infomercials, product endorsements. Ka-chow! You think you're famous now? We'll be rich beyond belief.
Mr. Sterling, what is this about?
Your legacy. Every time you lose, you damage yourself.
Boy, and the whole audience, their mouths were open when that car went up in there. A human being might as well have been inside Lightning McQueen right there, because, you know, not everybody. Of course, Martin, like, I don't give a fuck about that car. but I know a lot of people in the audience, they were just, even the kids that were talking, hold on, like, oh, shit. You know, is Lightning going to be okay? And it's not that people aren't concerned about Lightning. They were. That's why they were all sitting up there like, oh, I hope he's all right. But even people, I could feel people even thinking like, okay, you know what? That's what you get. Sit your old ass down before you kill yourself. The movie, no matter what kind of tragedy Lightning goes through, is almost like, yeah, if he would just accept his fate, he will be all right. Don't y'all have too much pity on him, because Lightning's bringing a lot of this on himself. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about this. I'm switching it to you. Hey, you know.
Who are you talking to, me or are you talking
I'm
to
talking
him?
To Corey right now.
Well, okay. I feel like what you say about them saying to Lightning McQueen, shut the fuck up and let's get this money, I feel like that's what they wrote when they were talking about this at Pixar. Because, like, this script, it just feels... or maybe I should say lack of a script. It just feels tired and dated, man. It feels like we're just recycling a whole bunch of stuff that we've had in all these other comeback stories. They even have a scene on the beach where they're running that's straight out of Rocky. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, we're going with that. And then the other thing about this movie, I do think there are some good things about it. I think it looks the best out of all the car movies, which it should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was kind of a shame that we saw it in 3D, because when there were some parts where I took off the glasses and I could see, like, wow, there's more fine detail in here that I'm missing. But because they're having to change the depth of field, it's throwing that animation off. And I like some of the jokes in here were actually decent. They were way better than number two. And they were, I feel like, I haven't seen one in a while, but I feel like the jokes in here were better than one. But the big thing about this movie, man, I just feel like I was being pandered to this entire time. And the thing is, it's not for me, obviously for kids, I understand that, you know, it's a kids movie, but they seem to be pandering towards the South and the Latin market, because every time there was a moment of let's sit back and relax, a reggaeton song would come on, or like they were throwing in a whole bunch of random characters and just like, here's this name and this name. Get it? It's Hispanic people. Go see our movie. So like, yeah, it felt like they were pandering a lot to certain demographics. And I was like, all right, I can see through this veil, man. That's really rough.
No, I'll tell you, because every time there was a Latin character up there, not only did he arms, but he also spray painted on cars. You know, did graffiti on cars and everything. And I get where you guys are coming from, and I'm gonna switch it to you next after I make this point, because that's where I get into my things that I thought were wrong with the movie, because I do have some complaints myself, like the so-called antagonist in the movie, which is Jackson Storm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jackson Storm, voiced by Armie Hammer, is that his name?
Yeah.
But I like what his character represented, because while I was feeling like, you know, Lightning need to get on out this game, he need to sit his ass down and quit trying to get this last bit of glory. It's done. But there would be that point where Jackson Storm would come in, and he would talk so much shit, and I was like, I see why Lightning can't quit. There's a lot of things that he could let go, but when these young dudes come in and they just start taking these digs at him in the most assholish way and just like twisting it once they sink into him, I was like, nah, you can't let that shit go, man.
Lightning McQueen first arrives on the scene.
Hey, Bobby. Who is that?
That's, Jackson Storm.
Yeah, he's one of the rookies.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, Jackson Storm, right? Great race today.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. McQueen. You have no idea what a pleasure it is for me to finally beat you.
Oh, thanks. Wait, hang on. Did you say meet or beat?
I think you heard me.
Yeah, fuck you. You know, that character actually pissed me off, but at the same
time,
I don't know. It's a kid's movie and it's a family film. So I didn't mind that it wasn't that deep. But at the same time, I thought that they could have done more with that character. I thought that they could have fleshed him out just a little bit more. He's there to race, beat Lightning McQueen, and talk down to him. And I thought that, you know, this serves his purpose, but could they push it just a little bit more with them, especially with the ambitions that they had in the rest of the film? I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? They could have. And I don't think it's too much to ask for from a Pixar movie where they have had antagonists like this. Not a real villain. He's more like just a mild antagonist. Well, they had antagonists like this, and even they were more fleshed out. What about you, Gertz? You haven't talked too much.
Well, I think I made it really clear that I hate this world so much, and it makes no fucking sense, no matter how you look at it. Even when, just in that clip you just played, look at their eyes when they look at each other. It just looks so weird to me. They move so far to the side because they can't move anything else. It's just like, ugh. And seeing that on screen is just odd, like on the huge big screen. That said, while I agree with a lot of your guys' criticisms, I felt like there was still less of that or those problems present in this movie than there was in the first one, and definitely in the second one as well. I thought they pandered more to the South and more to like Hispanics in the first and second one, Cars 1 and Cars 2. This one, I think, I don't love it, but I think it's hands down the best of the three.
Yeah, you know, I knew there was a reason I was saving you for last. You know, because I was like, hey, look, I'm just going to say what I have to say, because this is funny right here. Like, normally we'd be having a good time, so I'd be like laughing about things, looking at these clips, and these motherfuckers hate us so much, they're looking at me like, I'm going to fucking kill you, because they can sense that I like this, and they just ready to pounce on me. They ready to laugh. They're looking like,
you need to get out of your head.
You were just licking your lips.
Yeah, they both were sitting up here looking at me like,
why are you looking at me lick my lips? What is this?
Because you're staring
why are you
at
breaking us down like that.
It's not just me. Do you see the way?
It's not just you.
Like, the movie just kind of broke him down. He just looked. They both looking at me like, this is so fucking sad. You know what I'm saying?
That's not what I'm thinking at all.
They like I just feel like I'm being judged the whole time.
No, I'm judging the movie, and you're here, and you're liking these things about it, and I'm thinking like, man, I gotta break his heart, and I don't want to do that.
You ain't gonna break my heart. No,
like,
over
I gotta
cars
break
movie.
His heart. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, y'all like or dislike what you will. I just felt like, all right, I'm just gonna. I'm just going to have to, like, just pull this on my own because everybody going to jump on me and everybody going to hate me and I just don't know what the fuck to say.
I'm not
going
to hate you. You like the movie. You don't like it. But that puts no money in my pocket.
No, it was just the way y'all, no, like I said, it was just the way y'all was just over there just sullen. Just like, I would just sit up here like, yeah, man, and this and that. And just like, yeah.
You was going on your.
This poor motherfucker right
here. You was going on and you were happy. We were like, all right, go for it. You got it.
But I'll continue because I think. You might get where I'm coming from. And I'm glad somebody understands me. Because, you know, the movie, yeah. Brother. Not because, like you said, there are some things that in this movie where there are problems. And I will say that with what they're doing here, with this whole message about them, being old and not being able to, like, compete anymore, it's to the point where it's such a large part of the movie that some of the jokes do fall flat.
A lot of them do, actually.
Yeah. I'm not going to say all these jokes are bad. You know, some hit, but there are a lot of puns in here that are not even clever because they don't take advantage of this car's world. Some of the jokes...
There was something that was so bad, I almost walked out.
some don't work, but there are some in here that, you know, that just... They just fizzle out. And some do work. And because of that, this might be a movie that probably is more serious than it needs to be. But at the same time, I think that they use this world better than what they did in the other two movies as far as playing with the theme of it. Like, they have some set pieces in here and the things that they do that I say, all right, now this is what you should have done. This is what you should have done the first two films, playing with car themes. Like the part where they're in this derby, this demolition derby that they got to do.
Almost turned into Deliverance at one point.
It did. Yeah, because it was first of all, it's dark and they're in the middle of this redneck part of town, and all these cars are trying to kill each other in the mud. And the craziest thing about it is that you have Lightning and Cruz being chased by this big ass lesbian bus.
Look here, boys, we got us a couple of rookies. I want to call you Muddy Britches and you Lemonade.
Hey. Neither one of them has a single day.
Oh, I'm gonna fix that!
All right, everybody! Let's go!
Shit, Cruz is like, fuck that.
Well, no, that's one of the few moments when Cars is actually interesting.
I know. Right? I like the way Cruz was like, I ain't going out there in the middle of that shit. Exactly. Yeah, Cruz my ass. Yeah. And before anybody says, no, yeah, well, that's really insensitive, of course. You're calling that big ass lesbian a bus. Why? Because it's big and it got a female voice. Yeah, exactly. Because it's voiced by a lesbian female, the chick from Orange is the New Black.
It's Boo.
Lea Delaria. And you know, I looked at her. She's actually doing some promo for it. So I'm not just sitting up here, you know, just stereotyping because of the big ass manly bus, which it is. But you know, it was cool. Like I said, it was kind of weird in its own way, and I liked that. You know, a bunch of redneck gladiators with these cars right here. But yeah, so you agree that they use this kind of wisely?
Well, yeah. Anytime there's cars are actually being cars and racing and doing things like that, the action scenes are done well in this. When Lightning McQueen is having his accident, you're like, all right, this is really interesting. There's debris flying everywhere. There's sparks. There's actually some tension. Even here, there's some tension you feel for, you know, maybe something can happen to these characters and I don't want anything bad to happen to them. But the whole movie isn't racing. That's, you have about four or five scenes where they're actually being fast, fun cars and being fast and what's the word I'm looking for?
Furious.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I wasn't going to say
no. It was a lot of kinetic energy. But the second, like, when they start getting into conversations in a garage or in a pit crew, you're just like, oh, here we go.
And you know what? I can see that because it's really a lot of contrast in here because in this world, you know, it's something, and you're right, it doesn't make sense. You know, they live in an organic world, grass and trees and whatnot. And that stuff, it looks good. Like you said, it's the best looking cars movie right here. Mm-hmm. But is relatively calm. And then you get into the scenes with cars, like that scene at the Derby. You know, it's fast. They do what cars do. But it's also, if you look at the camera work right there, it feels like it's handheld. You can feel the panic of these cars. I almost feel like you're being dropped in the middle of traffic or something. Mm-hmm. You feel a little bit of danger right there. So I can see the contrasts that are going on with things and how it could be jarring for some people. But I did like, I didn't mind that contrast. Like that Derby scene right there, that feels obligatory. You know, it's they have to put something in there to make cars be cars, you know, and they have to put something there that feels like an action scene. But see, the reason why I like the movie is because, for myself, it is the quieter, more serious parts of the movie that work. They get to certain points where they start not only just talking about aging, but Lightning is he's hanging out at a bar with a table full of retired cars, retired racers. And they're telling him, and I like how profound those messages are. They're like saying, yo, man, look, you, this whole thing about you trying to get back out there and prove yourself, just accept this new phase of your life. You know, you feel like you're losing meaning in your life, but if you accept it, you're going to get a new meaning, and you're going to be able to do things. You might be able to learn from your own past. And I felt like, wow, I'm watching real characters. This is what Pixar is all about in these scenes. How do you? Now, I might be going a little bit too far. I don't know if you saw that in here.
I agree with you completely. I think it works best when it's not trying to be funny, because so many of the jokes do fall flat.
Yeah.
But the moments that worked the best for me were those quieter moments. And I really liked the relationship between Lightning and his trainer a lot. And I like how that changed over the course of the movie, too. It's almost like... going back to the first Cars, I don't like it really at all, except there's one scene I do like, and there's a character I like, and it's Doc Hudson, the Paul Newman
character. The Paul Newman character, yeah.
And it's almost like they took that one scene that I really liked from the first one, when you find out that he was a racer in the first one,
yeah,
and how everyone quit on him. It's almost like they took that scene and decided to make a movie about that. And on that level, I think it works actually pretty well. So, yeah.
And you know what? And y'all... You got to me so much. We had that conversation about about this world not making any sense, that I was going through the movie questioning shit.
Yeah, oh, I was too.
like those cow trucks that, like, they got these tractors, and they're not like the human version of cars. They're cow versions of them.
What's their function? Do they eat them?
Yeah.
Do they milk them? What do they do?
But the thing is that they look just like any other car. They don't look like animals.
Right.
And it's like if human beings went around the world talking about moo, you know?
Yeah.
It don't make any sense. And I get that. And it was points where that was bothering me in the movie.
Same.
But at the same time, I was like, there's a lot of good storytelling here that I can look past that. And to make me look past stupid shit like this, they must be doing their job. And then Mars like, there ain't no way in hell I'm seeing any of this that y'all talking about.
Well, that's not true, because I see all the things you guys are talking about. It is there, but at the same time, the movie is so disingenuous about all those things. It's like it presents that, and then another breath later, it'll totally backtrack it and undermine the point. Yes, Lightning McQueen. Johnny Thunder. What's his name?
Johnny Storm.
Jackson
Storm. Okay, yeah, Jackson Storm is the new model. He's hot. He's faster, and it's not enough for that to be the thing that he's young and he's faster. They got to make him a cocky asshole about it. And I was like, it's not really necessary for the message you're delivering. But let us not forget, which the movie seems to have forgotten, that when we started, Lightning McQueen was that cocky asshole.
Not like this. He was never like this in the first Cars.
In the first Cars, he was.
That was the whole reason he had to go to Radiator Springs.
Well, that's why I don't like the first one. The main character is so unlikable.
But they just told you the same movie again.
We're not following that character this time.
Yeah, you can argue that Lightning is finally seeing himself.
But no, you're right. You're right. He should, but he doesn't. I kept waiting for that moment where he said, you know what? That was me. I get it. You know, this is the cycle. But he doesn't. For him, it's always, yeah, man, it's just these kids, and I can do it. I can do it. And he never goes, this was me. I was the young guy who replaced those old racers. Even going back to the old racers, there's never that connection. The movie doesn't admit, like, hey, this is just the circle of life. This was you at this one time. Now your time is gone. Nathan Fillion, like what you brought up, yeah, he's not a bad guy. Until later in the movie, they go like, oh, well, we need to make him a bad guy now. I was like, fucking come on, man. This dude was cool, and now just to serve your purpose, you have to twist his character into something that's not. This movie, it's not enough that in Cars 1, he had to go find, you know, old Doc and old Racer to help him get his mojo back. They're like, well, we got nothing else. Let's go back to that well one more time. This movie is trope after trope after trope. There was I was able to predict everything that happened to a point where I was like, man, I wish they would just do something that would surprise me. Nope, not one single thing. The only time they surprised me, because it was with times where I was like, well, hopefully they won't do this. Oh, they just did it. Never mind. Fine. right? Sorry, man. I'm just like, please do something new. Stop ripping off your old movies. Stop ripping off Turbo. Stop ripping off, oh my God, so much of this plot comes from Planes 2. Because Planes 2, the plot was, hey, Dusty can't race because there's something wrong with him, and he's trying to get it back, and he ultimately has to accept that, like, okay, I can't be that guy anymore. He tries and tries and tries and just can't. And I'm like, you're going to give me the same movie that's supposed to be the lesser version already, and yet I got to watch it again?
Martin, I understand, but I don't agree, because I think you've been a little too hard on Lightning, right? The thing with Lightning is that he's so blinded by his ambitions. That's why you don't root for him in the movie, because he's so blinded by his ambitions that he does not see that which he used to be. And that is why he is having so much trouble accepting who he is. And brother, listen, I'm gonna agree with you.
Wait, man, let me just say this right here. Filibustered this whole review and pushed me to the back. And now I'm talking and saying stuff you don't like. You got to come in and cut me off.
No, I'm not mad at you, brother. I was about to say.
Who are you, Jeff Sessions?
I agree with you, man. I agree with what you're saying, because there is trope after trope. You know, in this movie, it is the sports tropes that
it is.
It's like, because you have the training. You know, you have the whole thing of him, like you said, he's out on the sand, you know, mm-hmm. and you have the competitor that's always talking shit to him. I see those things in there. And go ahead, because I there is something that this movie did that made me understand why they did that. But please continue.
Oh my God. Okay. first off, I just wanted to I sat in this movie in the very first part, and I almost stood up and said, wanted to say, I knew it. Because that whole trailer where they show him crash, mm-hmm. and they keep it quiet, and it just leaves you like, oh, what's going to happen? And then you see in the movie, plays out like that, and he's okay like that. I was like, fucking knew it. I knew that it was going to be downplayed by the time you saw it.
Well, you wanted to be crippled and paralyzed or something?
But that's the way the trailer sells it. Because like you said, it gets you like, oh my God, they're getting serious. What's going to happen to him? And yeah, the crash looks bad at first, but then... All right, well, we're back to the same old, same old.
Like, imagine if we went and someone was a bleed for this, and he has that horrific car crash, and then the next scene he's all right fighting again. I feel like I missed something.
Yeah, they go 3 months later.
I'm watching a Pixar movie, not a rated R boxing.
I'm not saying you got to be. I'm not. No,
man,
don't
that's
try to
cop out. You know
like
it. Don't do that.
That.
Don't
ain't no goddamn cop out.
Don't cop out.
Now say I was being fair. Don't you comment on the thing. Don't cop out.
Trying to downplay what I said. It's just from a movie technique, not saying you have to be as violent as it has to be, but if you want to show a comeback and somebody, you know, this horrific crash and you're selling the trailer on that crash, like in the next scene he's fine, you're like, well, then why did you sell me the movie like this?
Exactly.
It was months later. But just
a line at the bottom, months later. It's like, come on, it's like SpongeBob. 4 months later.
Yeah. You know, and what is SpongeBob? A cartoon, as this is. You know, and...
Bro, this is not what you do. Are you getting a Pixar check or something? You don't do this.
You know, my Marvel check stopped coming in. So.
You got to get another Disney.
I lift that ass for somebody else.
And oh my God. And every time I wanted to forgive it, it would pick up some other trope. And what it does toward the end for its climax, I'm like, huh, we got nothing else. Let's crowbar in this new modern agenda, which would have been fine had they really devoted something to it early on, except just dropping little hints. And I'm like, I know what you're going to do here. I know what you're going to do here. And you waited till 10 minutes before the movie's over to just cram it in there. Wow, that could have been actually developed in a way that would have been heartwarming and made sense.
Where I felt like the tropes were in there to kind of throw you off and try to make you believe that this is the movie that you always see, And then, because that's what it was. It was the end of the movie where I said, okay, again, I know what I'm watching. I'm watching a family film. But what they did at the end, I tell you, I didn't see it coming.
And I didn't either, actually.
I didn't see
what?
It.
How did y'all not see that?
I mean, when it happened, I was like, I should have seen that coming. But at the moment when it happened, I was like, okay.
And you know what? And even if you did see it coming, for something like this, for the movie that you were watching, and I really do think that they were presenting you with a movie that you've seen before, so at the end it would be more effective what they did. Now, I'm not sitting up here saying that this is the greatest movie that Pixar has done. I still think this is the weakest of Pixar's properties that are out there, the Cars films. But what they did at the end, I thought, you know something? Good for you for the message, sticking to it. And driving it home and not compromising on that.
Driving it into the ground is what they did. I mean, I'm fine with that message, but actually, you know what? Commit to it, do it earlier, and really have it be something, as opposed to like, oh, you know what, guys? We could do this. It'll make everybody happy. I was like, fuck you. Yeah. That whole thing they did, it deserved better than that. And plus the way they crowbarred it in there, I was like, man. If the other team had done that shit, everybody would have yelled, no, that's cheating. You can't do that.
No, that would have been fair. That would have been fair. It was the rules.
That was some backdoor Dumbledore saying, oh, Gryffindor, you get 100 friendship points.
I can't tell him nothing, man.
I mean, I think he's bringing up good points. I think you
I've
are.
Never, have I said that he's not?
No, but you're acting like he's not.
Why you gotta do this shit to me, man? Now, I was being fair. They're the first ones that told me that I was copping out. They were the first ones to call.
No, we said y'all you belittled ones. Our opinion.
I didn't belittle. I was being fair. No, the only thing, you called me his names first, and I've been sitting up here being fair.
What?
I'm missing the people.
And nobody thought, you know, Lightning, maybe if you just got some upgrades, you could stay in the race.
That did bring up a good question, because no spoiler, because I think they reveal in Cars 2, Doc Hudson is dead.
Right.
And the only reason he's dead is because Paul Newman's dead. Do these things age, and why? Why don't they just get new parts?
I don't get that either. Yeah. Don't mean, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. I look at this, and I'm like, all right, because you fucked my mind up with this. I'm like, how are cars born?
Yeah.
You know, how do they have sex? Like, do they just pop out your mom's tailpipe? You know, dude, what are they when you, what do they look like when they're little kids? Are you like go-karts and you move up to like normal cars? And, you know, it's a lot of things I don't question. You could do this with any other Pixar movie. So I know it doesn't make sense. And I was thinking, yeah, how come he doesn't get upgrades? I was thinking that too, but I don't know. I'm not going to try to sit up here and dissect this movie, you know, to a team. No, you know what? And even if I did think about it, I was like, all right, I got to pull back and just accept this world for what it is if they are telling me a decent story, which I thought they did.
That is something, the whole Cars universe, that's not something that bothers me at all. When we had that discussion when we saw the trailer, it's like, all right, it's Cars. I don't care if they grow. Sure. Like, I know who the characters are, upgrades, whatever. I don't know, whatever. But the biggest thing about this is, and for it being Pixar, I don't have, for me, in this movie, I don't get any kind of emotional resonance with anybody because it is very disingenuous. Like, one of the best things that Pixar usually does in their movies is make you connect to these characters and feel for these characters and empathize with them. But this whole time, I'm just sitting here watching this, like, I can't emotionally connect to any of these people, like, any of these cars. So I think that's one of the big things that pulls it back for me.
Okay, I got that. And this is, I'm going to close. I'm going to say my final piece here because, you know, we just are not going to agree on anything. That emotional disconnect that you have there, I felt it. I already talked about the older cars that were in there that I felt kind of delivered that. And I agree 100% with what you said, Gertz, where you talked about the relationship between Cruz Ramirez and Lightning. I said, you know, it started out as something that was just really basic and plain and kind of played up for comedy.
Yeah.
And their relationship got more complicated as the movie went on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm defending this movie and making it sound probably a lot more serious and dramatic than what it is. It's not. But for a series that was just really kind of shallow, this is the one that actually became a Pixar movie for me. You know, this is the one where I said I could see the storytelling that you wanted to do, and you brought that here. And you know something? I respect. I want to say this, and I want y'all to understand. I'm sorry if I upset you this evening. I'm sorry if you felt. I'm sorry if you felt disrespected. I really am. I'm sorry if I filibustered. You know, I really am, and
his medication's acting up.
I just want to put this rating out there.
Yeah, I'm just old. I can't critique like I used to.
I'm not
gonna change some parts out.
Stop leaking everywhere.
You're like the Jackson Storm that doesn't talk shit. You know, this is what it should have been. The relationship. I want to put this rating out there in peace and let you know I'm just saying this, and I want you to treat me the same way.
Damn. What are you about to say?
Does it require all this?
Yeah, it does.
It's a better than sex.
Yeah, stop taking my clothes off and masturbating.
Yes! Let me!
You did crack up at that little car just screaming his name in the crowd.
Man, I love that.
Everybody cracked up at that part.
Too. Yeah, that's the funniest part in the movie. That is the one joke that consistently works.
That little car was over there looting.
Yeah, every time they cut to that little car, it is really funny because he's just spazzing out like crazy.
Even Lightning was like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, wow. What's wrong with him?
I am giving this a matinee. See what I'm talking about?
No, I'm laughing because we went through all that for a matinee. Yeah. I'm not laughing at you. Okay. I'm laughing at the situation.
Well, y'all got me shook right now.
Get out your fucking head, man.
Yeah, y'all like the cool. Y'all like Jackson Stone. You in my head right now. Can't concentrate. Yeah, I give it a matinee. Like I said, it's still the lower tier of Pixar, but they came close to being their quality with this that we're used to seeing. And this is something I never thought I would see with a Cars series. So it's almost like they don't even acknowledge that second film.
Oh, they don't.
They don't. Yeah.
That's one of the best things about this, honestly.
Did we travel the world? No.
Just keep driving.
That second movie, like Roadkill.
Hey, you remember that time we went to Japan? Yeah, man. Yeah, good. What about this race?
And there's way less Mater in this one, too.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, way less of him. So yeah. There's that, too.
Tell you what, we'll go ahead and knock ours out over
go
here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Damn, man. Well, I went into this prepared to completely just like blow it off. I was not looking forward to seeing this, but it honestly pleasantly surprised me. Again, I think it's the best of the three. You brought up the point where you felt like it didn't really address that this was like a cyclical thing with these characters, mm-hmm. like they all got old. I thought it kind of did. I thought that's one of the things that I kind of appreciated about it. It's a movie that's telling a bunch of kids, hey, all of you kids, you're all going to get old and feeble and die one day.
Yeah. Pretty much telling the kids, you ain't going to be shit,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
At least Lightning did something. You won't.
A lot of the jokes fall flat. It does feel really pandering at points. But I thought the two main characters, Lightning and his trainer, I really liked their relationship over the course of the movie. And that element really surprised me because when they first brought in, I expected it to stay kind of just broad and goofy. And it didn't. I felt like they added some humanity to it. So, yeah, for me, honestly, I was thinking about giving this a full price. But to your guys' credit, you brought up a lot of problems with this movie.
Don't let them change your mind.
Nah,
what's
man.
With your book?
No, man.
I know him, but I don't know him.
to your guys' credit, it's like, no, you guys bring up a lot of good points. It's a matinee. A good matinee. It's worth checking out, but yeah.
But do you see what he did to you? Like, he's like, get your boy, man.
Hey,
disrespect.
Man.
I listened to their points, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good criticism that I didn't think of. That's a good point.
All right.
I'm trying to be open-minded, sir.
All right. The crusty crew over here, what's up?
Damn.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
But no, there are some good things to say about this movie. One, like I said, I think it's the most beautiful of all the Cars movies and some of the Pixar movies because they really went in and put some time into the animation. Like, and a lot of the stuff is done on terrains where you have to have a whole bunch of texture and a whole bunch of particle effects, which looks great on the screen. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I did enjoy, I enjoyed a lot of the racing when they're actually being cars, when they're on a track or they're doing the demolition derby thing. That's a part that I do enjoy. But, man, I feel like I'm being sold the first movie just repackaged and a new sticker on it. And the thing about it is I like the first movie. It's like, all right, I'm not a big fan of the Cars series in general. I, like you, think it's the worst franchise that Pixar has. But I enjoyed the first one. It's like, all right, it's something new. It's something fresh, and I can get behind a lot of these characters. And Lightning McQueen, even though he was like a dick for a majority of that movie, the him meeting the people in the town and, you know, getting to know the world and all that other stuff, it endeared me more to that film. Mm-hmm. But with this one, it's just like I've seen this, and it's so, to Martin's point, it's so predictable. Like, there wasn't any time. I don't know how y'all didn't see the ending of this coming the way it did. And
I don't know either. In retrospect, it's like,
man,
it is pretty obvious.
That shit,
man,
was,
stand up for your
no. I admitted it beforehand. It's like, it caught me off guard.
Why don't you just bend over for him right now?
Shit.
That's later.
Wow.
Exactly.
See how your teammate treats you.
That's the thing.
It's a rental now.
Yeah. No, that was the thing. I came in here prepared. It's like, you know what? It's not, you know, my favorite of the Cars movies, but I would put it on par with one for certain things. I would have given it a matinee, but mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that Martin was bringing up, I was like, yeah, I forgot about that. And I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. That's what brought it down for me. It's a rental. I mean, again, it's not Cars 2. Again, what is? But yeah, they could have done better. They could have brought some more originality to it, and they could have played the storyline out a little bit better.
Okay. Martin Thomas.
All right. Well, I don't care for the way they really skew these things so young. I mean, with the first movie, sure, you could tell that this Cars franchise is more skewed to younger kids who are actually into playing with toy cars. But even with that first one, it's pretty much they rewrote Doc Hollywood. But mm-hmm. but there is a heartwarming story behind that. I mean, so many of Tom Cruise's movies are based on being a cocky little dick who actually learns to be more of a human being by the end of the movie. And there's something endearing about that. Matter of fact, if you took Mater out of the first movie, I would like it so much more. So this has that going for it, that there ain't a whole lot of Mater happening here. And I really liked Chris Cooper, who plays the leader of the new old Cars.
Yeah. Smoke. What's his name? Smokey. Yeah.
Some stereotypical Doc car.
Yeah.
But within that lies the problem. Is that we had that with Doc, and now we're doing this again. And this movie is just. I was so hoping, because it is beautiful. I think it's the best looking of all three movies. What it seemed like in the premise could have been the one that would have been the best, but it's cobbled from too many other animated car movies already. Like I said, it's Planes 2, it's Cars 1, it's Turbo. And I mean, you guys probably never saw Turbo, but I saw a lot of that.
The snail movie.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a lot of that here. And I was like, man, they just cannot do anything new here. It's like they're just playing it so safe. It's just with the amount of resources they have and the kind of money they know they're going to make off of it, for them to play it so safe, it's kind of gross to me. It's a little bit disgusting. Maybe the movie's not overall as bad to everyone else, because I'm like, look, it's a kid's movie. They're skewing for a young audience, and they're going to hit it, and that's fine for them, and it's not offensive. But to me, on a certain level, it is that they would take this and just do so little with it and be self-satisfied and just give us the same thing over and over and not address so many problems and bring up these deep issues that you're talking about, but really not follow through on them. And eventually, everybody, whatever you're doing, you get older, especially if you're an athlete. That time comes around when you can't perform like the younger kids. But they don't really – they just make it like you're just old, you just give it up. And it's like, well, maybe more. It's not about that. It's about, hey, they're going to do this now, but you're going to do this other thing. Instead of following through on their original idea, they at the end switched to a different agenda, mm-hmm. and I was really not happy about any of that. It all comes down to it's a movie that I'm like, I'm done with it, but I'd say overall it just comes down to a rental.
Okay. All right. I really thought you were going to go for that bullshit, man.
No, I mean, like I said, you know, for me on so many levels, it's a bullshit, but I have to acknowledge how pretty and beautiful the animation is. And also to Corey's point, when they do race, I think the racing here is much better than in the first one. Because in the first one, I was bored with the racing a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Here, they do manage to make it exciting.
Yeah. You know, and you're right. That's one of the things that I really enjoyed about this movie, when you talk about how good it looks, because – we all remember The Good Dinosaur. That was a problem where they had these really hyper-realistic backgrounds and these cartoon characters, these really cartoony-looking characters. And here, being at their cars, they can blend in better with this hyper-realistic background That, you know, because everything got the, you know, as I said, everything is really organic. And I think the characters fit right in with that. But, you know, you're being fair. That's good. Man, but you really don't like when they pull from the past, man. You know, the Boss Baby? You didn't like when they took from Looney Tunes. You got mad at that.
I remember a time when you didn't care for that either.
And then you got it here. But, Martin, you know, I learned to move with the times. Now, you can't be old like this, you know. You got to let that past go, man.
You got them Chuck Taylors again.
Yeah. Get some mom. Get with the kids, man, you know. I get an upgrade. Got to let it go, Martin. Got to let it go.
Did you hold Planes 2 pretty close to your heart?
Not really. No, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's not like I'm going like, oh, they stepped on my sacred cow. Planes 2 is a movie that hardly anybody sees or don't even like that much, and yet this movie felt they revered enough to go like, ooh, let's take the plot
from
that.
He's fucking with you, man. You don't have to answer that.
No, they're trying to please you, Martin.
Well, they failed miserably.
But if these were flying cars, he would have loved that. Full price.
There was flying cars in the second one.
Oh, yeah, there was.
All right. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and get into Martin Gets a Cold Stuff.
The room is just dead.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Maybe this will build your spirits up right here, Martin, if we can get me a gold star. And this is part of the show where we give a prize away if you can get 3 out of 5 pieces of trivia correct. Not you. Actually, these guys are going to do it. They're going to do all the work for you. We just have to pick somebody who wants to play. And let me go over here to the Gamels. And by the way, I'm looking at here. Somebody in the chat already put up Planes. He said, yeah, Martin, better than sex.
What does that mean?
They talk about that time that you and I had that argument over Planes. And I was, it was a long time ago. And I felt bad about it because I was just fucking with Martin over
you
that plane.
You were bullying him.
Yeah, you really were. I was his Jackson Storm man that day. I was talking shit and I shouldn't have done that.
It's one of my favorite reviews you guys have ever done, though.
But I grew. I matured a little bit more. Oh, let's see here. Somebody said, now where's my paycheck? And you know what? A lot of people were saying, what were we going to give this before we move on to the game? See if those still hold true right there. And everybody thought that all of us were going to give this a rental. And you guys were half right. Half of us gave it a rental. And Gertz and I, we gave the movie a matinee. So you never know. You never know with us. Oh, let's see here now. Let me go over to the Gamels and see if I can find somebody that wants to play the game with us. And let me see here.
Fuck you and your cars.
And your cars, Negro. Somebody says Cars 3 twist spoiler. Hey, you guys talked about a certain part of Cars in which...
No,
we didn't. Shut up.
We didn't.
Let me read, because I don't think they're blaming us. They said you guys talked about a certain part of Cars in which apparently they push a message or something like that. Martin said they dropped hints about it throughout the movie until the final reveal. You guys said it was revealed within 10 minutes left to go into the movie. A lot of people in the chat were just wondering if you could spoil that specific plot
point.
No,
I knew that's
what
they're going to ask.
Okay, do you want to at the end of the show? Or not? I really do. It's not like a bad movie where they try to do a twist and it's a total failure.
It's not split.
No. It's not a big deal. I don't want to spoil that for anybody. I don't want you guys to think that. I would like to tell you because you see. Actually, you know what? Maybe at the end of the show, if you really do want to hear it, maybe we just bring it up briefly because you guys disagree with this so much and him and I didn't mind it. So maybe we'll talk about it. Let me see here.
Get out of my dream.
Into my car.
Hey, you.
Get into my car.
Hey, don't forget. Life's a beach, and then you drive.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. That was one of the worst jokes in the movie.
Boy, that was the one where I was like, you know what? Fuck this.
I know. I mean, you talk about the brakes being pumped on that shit. Yeah, we agree that certain things didn't work.
We've taken pride in worse, though.
No, not that bad.
See, I'm glad you dodged that trap. I saw that coming a mile. I was like, I know that face.
Oh, now let me go ahead. I'm trying to see if people want to play the game right here. If anybody's going to come in, somebody says he's going to forget. I'm not going to forget. We'll talk about it briefly. But I don't want y'all getting mad and saying, man, I'll spoil that shit. We're telling you, we're saving it for the end of the show. You don't have to watch. So please, please, please do not say anything. See, people already talking about Negro. Just spoil it. Nah, we're
no,
wait. No, mm-hmm. No.
Not just because you say that.
You ruined the ending for Cars 3. Let me see here. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get into what the game is going to be like right here. Of course, Edward Nygma, a.k.a. the Riddler, he came in with today's trivia. And looking at the picture right here, it is going to be centered around Cars 3. And
Pixar movies.
Let me see here. He says, hello there, DT crew. Today's trivia is about 1, Pixar movies, 2, car racing movies, and 3, car chases in movies. Car chase scenes. Damn. So fasten your seatbelt and good luck with that. All right. Last chance to look at me, Hector. Let's see if we can get somebody to play the game, because it always happens. Every time I get into the game, I get about 5 emails of people saying, I want to play, man. How can you get me? Mm-hmm. So I'm putting it out there. If not, then we're going to get my boy, my son over here to play again. See if he can get, because I want another free meal.
He got bananas. What he need money for?
No, bananas are cheap. He wants a hamburger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I bought him 100% pure beef the other night. So if we don't get somebody to play, then I'll bring my son back up here. See if he learned anything. All right. Now, it looks like I'm going to give it just a couple more tries. And if that's not the case, all right, boy, come on up here. Diego, my son. Don't nobody get mad at me now if y'all don't, if y'all don't get called up, because I tried. And even if I get something a little bit, I'll kick Diego out and we'll bring somebody else in. Oh. The only thing I don't like about these bad movies sometimes is that they really do feel like they depress you. Like, so you said that's why I want you to have your coffee, because you're just like, yeah, man, this is just bullshit. I don't know what else to say. But, you know,
this ain't going to be a fun night for you.
Ooh, I can't wait. Now, when we agree on it, then it's really good. Okay. I get you pumped then.
Okay.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into our trivia here. And Diego, how you doing, son?
Fantastic.
Good to see you, my boy. But good to see you. I've adopted him, man. He doesn't go anywhere. I love the chat. They talking about, go, Diego.
I know.
I want you to know.
Oh, it does look like him.
I can't think of a person I've met who has not made that joke.
Yeah, well.
So. Even if you don't want to, yeah, you feel compelled exactly. to make the joke.
Well, Diego, meet the chat. Chat Diego right there. So let's go ahead and get into the game. And let me pull out my music so that we can do this proper. You know, I like to add some suspense to this, so let me pull up my suspense music. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of wins tonight, so I'm going to bring up the winning sound. I have confidence.
Just leave it on the...
Well, I'm so jaded tonight, so jaded.
Incorrect music.
Oh, now...
Okay. Oh, wait, y'all got that one?
Okay, let's go ahead and get that out the way then. Let's go ahead and get another one there.
Just leave it there.
Let's get these out the way right there. So we got a couple. So hopefully we won't have to hear that no more. Diego, you got a free meal the other day because you won the game. Why they won the game for you? Why? Because you chose wisely. Now, who are you going to choose tonight to represent these curs for you?
The curs? I'm gonna go with Mr. Goodwin.
You bitch.
All right. You are the one who likes the first Cars movie.
That is true, man. That is true. All right, then let's go ahead and get into our first question right here.
It's like a 70% for me, man.
You did well last time, though. So yeah. Let's go ahead and get into question number one. Question number one being, what is the name of Pixar's second movie? The second movie released by Pixar Animation Studios.
Put it up there, man.
Oh, there it is. What is the name of Pixar's second movie? The second movie released by Pixar Animation Studios. The first one being Toy Story. What is Pixar's second movie? The name of Pixar's second movie.
I believe I know this one.
And Corey's writing. I'll put it up again. What is the name of Pixar's second movie? The second movie released by Pixar Animation Studios, the first one being Toy Story. All right. Everyone seems to have written their answers. Let's see what you guys have. All right. We have A Bug's Life. A Bug's Life, Martin says also. And Mr. Gertz over here says A Bug's Life. Everyone says A Bug's Life. You know something? I'm going to play this right now because I'm confident. If everyone thinks that, then that's what the answer is. And let's take a look. It is indeed A Bug's Life. While it did have ants, it shouldn't be confused with DreamWorks Ants. This is their second movie, A Bug's Life. And even though it was a huge success for them, and there are some great storytelling elements in there that rise above the average family film, it's one that I'm really not that crazy about either.
I wasn't that crazy about it when it first came out, but after buying it and watching it a few times, then I began to like it as much as the others.
And what's this movie like? Like you said, like
Cars. Three Amigos.
Three Amigos. Okay. Some even, people even say like the Seven Samurais.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is.
And I haven't seen it in a long time. I was in that camp of people where I couldn't just accept both movies, Ants and A Bug's Life. I was like, well, I'm an Ants man myself.
Same here. Yeah. But eventually I was like, all right, you can like both.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was a petty fuck back in the day. All right, let's go ahead and get into our second question. And this is the part where we have the multiple choice. And question number two, which one of the following actors did not portray a fictitious or real race car driver? One, Chris Hemsworth. Two, Al Pacino. I'm sorry, A, Chris Hemsworth. B, Al Pacino. C, Pierce Brosnan. And D, Roger Moore. I'll go through that again. Which one of the following actors did not portray a fictitious or real...
Put it up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. A fictitious or real race car driver? A, Chris Hemsworth. B, Al Pacino. C, Pierce Brosnan. Or D, Roger Moore. You guys take your time. You go ahead. I'll leave that up there so you can see it. And... Martin, did you write your answer?
Yeah.
Okay. And these guys, looks like they are wrapping it up. Let's go ahead and see it. Both these guys over here say Mr. Goodwin and Mr. Thomas.
Bobby Deerfield.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Let me finish this. Sorry. C, Pierce Brosnan. Martin says Pierce Brosnan. And my man over here, Gert, says Al Pacino. Well, the first time you guys agreed, you got it right. So let's go ahead and take a look at what the answer is. And I'm sorry... Gertz, you get that, but everybody else gets with that Kermit on that. The answer is C, Pierce Brosnan. Only one James Bond portrayed a race car driver, and Pierce Brosnan is not the one. Roger Moore played a race car driver in The Cannonball Run, co-starring Burt Reynolds, and that was in 1981. Al Pacino played a Formula One driver in Bobby Deerfield, as Martin said, 1977. Very good, Martin. And Chris Hemsworth, I remember this, the movie Rush from 2013, Ron Howard movie. Really underrated film.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies that year. So... looks like you picked wisely so far. You're on a good roll there, Diego. Might get another free hamburger.
It would suck if somebody messed this up for you.
Yeah. Glad I'm not playing. All right. Let me go ahead and get into question number three. Let me see here. All right. This seems like this is pretty simple. We have a picture. And it says, question number three. Name the movie that used the following car in a chase scene. And it is a Ford Mustang 390 GT Fastback.
Jesus.
Name the movie that used the following car in a chase scene. Ford Mustang 390 GT Fastback. I'll leave that up there for people to see. And I will say it one more time. Name the following movie, or name the movie that used the following car in a chase scene. Ford Mustang 390 GT Fastback. All right. Somebody said, Corey, feed your child. I'm trying. I'm trying, but it's not up to me. It's up to these guys. All right. Let's see your answers. Gone in 60 seconds. Mr. Goodwin says, Thomas says, Bullet. And over here, we have Leprechaun. Leprechaun in the Indy 500. So they made a lot of them. That could be one. But the answer is, Martin, I don't know the answer, but if I was going to say anything, I was guessing Bullet also. So let's take a look, and the answer is Bullet. Sorry.
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen. That's right. That's the movie which is considered to be that in the French Connection from the time, and considered to be like two mm-hmm. of some of the most famous and some of the most well-choreographed car chases. So no CG back then, anything like that. They all had to do it with practical cars and effects. And if you haven't seen that, what year did that movie come out?
1970, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny because some people look at it, even though it's considered to have one of the best car chases in film history, a lot of young people look at it today, a lot of you Jackson Storms out there, and it's like, man, that movie kind of slow.
Well, it doesn't have Ben Diesel and all that CG.
Yeah, sorry, Steve McQueen didn't turn into a superhero in the middle of the shit. All right.
Bullshit.
There you go. See, that's that generation I'm talking about. ADD generation over there. What? Who are you talking to me? All right. Let's go ahead and get into... We got two more chances to get this right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to take a guess and say that the next question has to do with audio. And it is. Question number four always is, listen to the audio from a trailer and name the movie that it is from. They say, listen to the following trailer for a car racing movie and tell us the name of that movie afterwards. Now, that's going to require me to go over here to my audio. Let me go ahead and pull that up. And this is an excerpt from a trailer that is from a car racing movie. It should start about right now. Good luck today.
I got a rookie driver. His name is Jimmy Bly. He's won 5 races. All you gotta do is help this kid.
I can't do this. I thought I could handle it. You can, and you will.
Don't overdrive the car.
There's maybe 20 guys in the world that can drive these machines right. I think when he can get it together off the track, he'll come together on it.
You're having a bad season and you're throwing me out of your life?
Don't blow this. Not over.
What are you doing back here, Joe?
The race. For the job requirement, remember?
If he doesn't deliver next time out, he goes.
What are you doing, Carl?
Whatever it takes to win.
You don't know who you are anymore.
I know. The thing with this is that
it needs an attitude. You gotta ask yourself, is the pleasure gonna be worth the pain?
Can definitely hear Sylvester Stallone's voice.
Can I answer this question, please?
No, please go ahead. Go ahead. What do you say? Formula 51. What did you put, Martin? Martin didn't put anything.
I didn't, but
what'd you put, Gertz? He says Rocky Road. You know what?
Shit.
We'll take that right there, Rocky Road.
Rocky Road.
And I'm going to say that we're playing that because you sound way too confident about this.
I might be wrong.
Wait a minute.
It's something else. It's got that guy Kip something. There's the young upstart in it. He was trying to train him. And
yeah.
The guy went rogue.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're like the Academy Awards. We jumped the gun with that sound right there. That is not the winning answer.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry. You got it wrong. Formula 51, I remember this now.
Yeah, that's the one with Samuel Jackson and the kilt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. The movie is, I would have never gotten this answer either. I do remember seeing this, a Sylvester Stallone driving movie, and it was called simply Driven.
Driven.
So
I knew it. Yeah. Because when they were racing the cars in like downtown Miami.
Yeah, they were.
Shit.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I mean, I don't know. I
knew it was
remember.
Something like Rush, but I'm like, it's not Rush, but it's a one-word title.
Yeah. Yeah, Driven. There you go.
That movie was shit, too.
And I can't blame you for not remembering that, because I do not remember a thing about that.
I remember the movie, not the title.
All right. Well, we have one more.
Kip Perdue. Because they were trying to make it like he was going to be the next big thing.
Kip who? Kip Perdue? Yeah, nobody remembered. Wow, you were good for remembering that. I found it funny that you couldn't remember the movie, but you remember that dude.
Yeah.
Because scarred
he stuck out to me.
Because don't nobody remember him.
So bad.
Wow. Man, now it's all coming back to me. Because that's one of the things. We're like, this guy is horrible. And they even had a... Then I'm looking at the chat, and they even had a... They even had a video game version of that movie. It was out for the PlayStation 2.
Oh,
Driven.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, I think it was forgotten just like Kip Perdue. I think Kip Perdue was the only one that bought that game. All right. Let's go ahead we down to the photo finish now, man.
This is it.
Make no mistake where you are. Make no mistakes, period. This is the last one. You got to get this one in order to get to feed my man, Ray, feed my baby. He's
right.
Hungry.
And look at those ribs.
I know.
He's got to eat something.
He just been living on bananas and root beer. He needs a meal. And you need to do this win for him. Question number 5. And I'll give you guys a little time on this. Question number 5 says, the following sentence is an anagram, a rearrangement of letters. Your task is to determine the name of the Pixar movie hidden in this anagram. You don't have to add any letters. If this is not clear, here's an example. Scar equals cars. All right, got it. Here it is. You never sit, Miss Strin. You never sit, Miss Strin.
You don't get this.
Oh, you never sit, Miss Strin.
I'd like to say a lot of the time got taken up by you describing what was going on.
It's an anagram. Yeah, you just have to rearrange the letters.
But yeah, are the words just one word, or do I have to rearrange all the letters?
He got it. So you know, you got.
Let him answer it.
No, well, you know what we see right here, that these guys, they don't have it. Now, do you think you have it?
Monsters University.
And he is right. He is right. It is Monsters University. You know, and hey, look, he got it. He understood it. I like Whit Gerson even bother with that shit.
None of us did.
You never done it? Have you ever done an anagram?
Yeah. I know anagrams. I was thinking about driving, not Pixar movies. Yeah. But I was just saying how you said you're going to give us more time, yet you were talking when we were needing to.
I put it up there,
that.
Though, so you can see it. And he got it. I mean, look, my man saw it immediately, like, hey,
well,
I know
you got
this
it. Just like you ain't getting that burger.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't count if he got it.
No, it does not.
Yeah, fuck you. Like, God, how do you not know this? Okay.
No. Don't. They get tested like this when they don't get something. Don't worry about it. You'll go to bed hungry tonight, but still, you did a good job.
You let Monster University keep you full.
Don't pay any attention to them. Don't listen to them. They are salty. They didn't get it. You got it immediately. If nothing else, you're a smart young man. You'll be just fine. You know, so there you go.
Just eat the peels next time.
Man, don't listen to them, sir. Hey, thank you. You know, you pull through. These guys right here, they ain't even try for you. And they ain't going to get mad when they don't get it. You see how people are. But I'm proud. I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud. If nothing else, you can eat my prize. All right. Mr. Gertz, you want to come back in, sir? There you go. All right. Oh, let's see what we got here. That was a fair question, y'all. It was good.
Wait, can you put that back up?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't, because all you're going to do is talk shit.
You're right.
Yeah, I know what's happening here. No.
I thought it said racing movie, but maybe I might have been wrong.
No.
No, it did say
it's a Pixar movie.
No, I'm talking about in the description of the question, not the beginning of it.
It's a Pixar movie.
It was, it was a fair question.
Not the beginning of the quiz.
I know exactly what you're saying. The question said.
Yeah. Okay.
The question said Pixar movies.
Yeah. It was fair, Mr. Enigma. I appreciate it. All right. Let's go ahead and get on to our next film right here. Oh, boy. We were at each other's throats. Now, here's the other thing. I don't want y'all jumping on me and any of us that when this is done, because some people take those real serious, boy. They like, man, you guys were so shitty to each other. Yeah, you were, but you know, hey, people, we don't even take it that serious, like, because I'm going to go to YouTube and I'll be like, oh, that fucking Corey, man, you don't let nobody do shit in there. Hey, come on, y'all. Well, I don't, but.
I'm about to say, I don't know if that one's
right. Yeah, you got me on that one, but I was
that's a lot. Okay.
Yeah, okay. You're right. When you're right, you're right. All right. Let's go ahead and get into our next movie right here. And let's see what we have. I didn't see you at this one tonight. Now, I'm glad that you were there because I want to talk to you about it. Because maybe, just maybe, we can make up over this. We were going at it over Cars 3. We were disagreeing. Martin and I just couldn't see eye to eye. Got a little heated for a moment. And you know what? We decided, even though we said we're going to be civil about it, we begrudgingly left the review with differences of opinions. But I think, if I read Martin right, I think that maybe this one we can be on the same page. Bring it back, Martin. Get back to bring the team back together again.
Hey, I don't take anything for granted.
Well, you know what? The reason why is because this is a movie. You saw the trailer for it. And a lot of people are saying, man, you know what? These lowbrow comedies out there, especially the ones that try really hard with a female cast, those can go either way. You know, ever since Bridesmaids was out there, you know, everybody tries to take a little bit of that. And
sure.
It don't
Bad honor. Moms.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example of trying to take that theme and just going horribly wrong with it. Did you
that
ever
movie
see
it? Was horrible.
Yeah. It was. And we don't want that. We, first of all of us here, we're open-minded. We're progressive. We want women to go out there and advance in the area of comedy. Second of all, we don't want to go see a bad movie, period. And third, we want to laugh as much as anybody else. Don't nobody want to walk out of a movie being sour?
Hell no.
And with this one, I saw the I saw the trailer for Rough Night, and I thought, okay, you know what? A lot of talented women in there, a lot of raunchy humor that made me chuckle, and even a different element in there. Now, it's contrived. It's, some people are saying it's sort of like the Very Bad Things of Weekend of Bernie's for females. You got these women who are going on a bachelor party, and they're getting a little wild. They're doing some drugs. They're doing a bunch of crazy things. And then they had to go and get the male stripper. And that's when things went very bad for them. Turns out what was supposed to be just a little life fun ended in a horrible death.
Love her. Make her feel special.
My turn!
Oh, God. He's dead.
Sir?
Oh, God, no.
Jesus.
No, 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 no.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? I know you get the picture. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
We are totally fucked.
Take my picture.
There was this guy in Australia who cooked his girlfriend and ate her.
Ew.
I can't because I am vegan.
Now, you see, that's a funny line right there, but at the same time, they're dragging a dead body around. Can that actually be funny? And in some cases, yeah, and if you know how to handle it, right? Do they do it here? And as you can see, the cast includes a variety of females from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, you got your actress in there who does a lot of things, both comedy and drama. What's her name? Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
Kate McKinnon, still surprising people with her range. She plays an Australian chick in here. I didn't even recognize when the first one came. Zoe Kravitz. I didn't even know that girl was old enough to play a mother. You know it.
I don't think she is. I mean, that's the whole thing where they're saying they were all 18 and in college together. I'm like, are you sure?
I think she's like 25, I think.
Scarlett Johansson ain't 25.
No, I'm talking about Zoe Kravitz.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
How they both end up in college at the same time.
Maybe she went at like 13. 18.
It was like a Dookie Howser thing.
Man, that's a funny thing.
They make a point of saying, yeah, we're all 18 and we're in college. And I'm like,
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Look. All of these women, they got their own level of beauty going on, but when they sitting around talking about we're in college, they all look like they're from all different kind of different paths of life. They all look like from different periods.
Yeah, it's like, are we watching 24 Jump Street or something?
Yeah, because what's her name from Broad City?
Ilana Glazer.
She looks like a college student, but when you get down to like Scarlett Johansson is beautiful. But she does not look like a college student when she's next to those people. She looks like she's 40-something years old.
Yeah, like she's somebody's mom.
Yeah.
They had the nerve to dress her up in a Girl Scout uniform. I'm like, don't you do that?
She looked like the fucking den mother, man. You know? Yeah, and Zoe Kravitz, she's kneeling next to a boy that looks that she says is her son, and it looks like her little brother.
Uh-huh.
You know, they look like they're 10 years apart. I'm like, nah, man, that's the first place y'all made a mistake trying to make all these girls look like they were in college together. Some of them don't even look like that. A lot of girls, she don't even look like she's in college yet.
Right.
But, you know, it's but this is a comedy. You're supposed to suspend your disbelief with this.
It's all about the laughs.
It is all about the laughs. And the movie plays it so loose that you can even say, man, maybe that is part of the joke right there. And you know something? I will say that the beginning of the movie, it had a promising start to me. I'm not going to say I laughed really hard at a lot of things in here, but there were some things that gave me a good chuckle. And they were so weird. And I liked the odd tone that the movie was setting up. Like when they, with some surprise cameos too, like when they first went to, because they're all doing this, they're all from different cities, and they're going to Miami to celebrate Scarlett Johansson's bachelorette party. And when they get there, they rent but Scarlett Johansson's, she has like a friend.
Yeah, a mm-hmm. client or, no, a donor.
A donor.
For her campaign.
Because she's a politician mm-hmm. now. And she goes into this house, and they have to get the key from the neighbor. The neighbors happen to be Ty Burrell. Mm-hmm. And somebody you haven't probably seen in a while, Demi Moore. And it's cool to see Demi Moore just kind of play it up like this. Both these guys play it up because they play like this. They're just a perverted couple. And they don't try to hide it. They're ready to fuck anything that walks close to them.
Hi. Sorry, somebody left some.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Let me put something on.
Oh.
Come on in.
Very funny. Oh, really?
I love it.
Enchanté.
Hello. Hi. Thank you. Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
What brings you to Miami? Business? Pleasure? The business of pleasure?
Oh, wow. Bachelorette weekend.
Jess is getting married.
Oh, congratulations. This marriage, will it be open?
You know, we haven't discussed it, but probably closed. Yeah, tightly, tightly closed.
Mm.
Well, we're going to try to keep it down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we'll try not to.
Oh. Yes. Man, get the fuck on out of here. You know what? Surprisingly, Scarlett Johansson, her comedic timing is pretty good.
Yeah, and she knows how to use her, like, her face to do certain things. Like, when she was shooting the her little campaign video in the beginning, it's like, how you want us to put this out? She's making, like, crazy-ass faces.
Yeah, trying to do that smile. She don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
She knows how to act like a bad actress.
Yeah, no, she does. And I was surprised how much she was able to hold her own against these other funny women. And at first, I was kind of not buying their friendships because they were all people doing their thing, which means that they were all actresses and comedians who were kind of just, you know, playing it for jokes, not really playing it for the chemistry that they have with each other. But actually, later on in the movie, that played out well because they try to pick up right where they left off. And it feels like they want to believe that they're still close. And you could tell that they're forcing it. And even when they do start breaking it down and starting to get familiar with each other again, and it, you know, it works. Their chemistry starts to actually pull it together. And it was cool seeing Scarlett Johansson just play a regular person. I know I keep praising her, but it was not only cool to see her playing or just a regular person. You know, she's not playing it up for her sexuality. She's not, you know, showing off her body or anything like that.
She played a regular person until she turned into Black Widow.
When it was necessary.
Yeah. Hey, wait a second. Did the movie change?
I'm going to put this Avengers train into use.
I am an Avenger.
Yeah. No, she was hopping around in a bathrobe. It's not only good to see her playing like a regular person, but she's also the straight person out of the whole group and still manages to be funny too.
Okay, guys, I can't do any cocaine. I'm very jet lagged, so I will do cocaine.
So everyone's in. Dope.
I don't know.
Jess, come on, just do some cocaine.
Jesus, Ricky.
Sorry, I did a little bit of it.
Yeah, I should stop quick.
I was like, Jesus.
That cocaine got to her real quick.
Stop.
She's like, shit, it's really kicking in now. You know, I keep praising Scarlett Johansson. Everybody was pretty good in the movie, I thought, as far as what the material that they were given. The only person that got on my nerves was what's the girl's name who plays the same thing?
The big girl. You got the computer in front of you.
Yeah. I just thought you might know.
No, I was gonna stay because I always forget her name. I was gonna stay for the credits, but then I was like, well, I should be getting down to the studio.
Yeah, Jillian Bell.
There you go.
Is her name. Which she's the only one that gets on my nerves because she's always playing that loud character whenever things get slow or whenever there's a joke that looks like it's not to be had, just get loud. Say something hypersexual, which she always does. And of course,
obnoxious.
And of course, since she's the chubby person, you know, it's always funny to have the fat person fall. You know, right there, you know, pulling a mummy when she falls down. You know, she plays the same character every time. Mm-hmm. It seems like the more movies she makes, the more she's like, well, this is what people want. And she just gets more annoying with every movie.
She's falling down that Melissa McCarthy hole. Like, we saw her play this character in Office Christmas Party, and she even did a lot of these same notes in the 22 Jump Street movie.
And also the movie with Charlie Day as a principal. Was it?
Fist Fight.
Yeah. She's always, it's funny, it's the same thing that she's doing all these other movies that she does here. She does a bunch of drugs, try to fuck everything she can, and just screams.
And just randomly blurt out inappropriate things.
Yeah. Like, she's got Tourette's half the time in these movies. You know, I hate to say it because I'm not trying to go against her because, you know, she's the least attractive of the group, you know, by standards that we have out there today. But she really is not that likable at all. And it seems like they're just trying to force her now. Like you said, there's always a slot left open for another fat, funny chick. And she's going down that road, you know.
Did you say that?
Yeah, he did. He said it a little nicer than I did.
I don't think I recall saying that.
You know what, you did, but you were very much more PC about it than I was.
Now, that was Jeff Sessions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't recall saying that.
But the point where it really gets to me is, and I don't know, how, maybe I'm being a little bit too maybe I'm being a little bit too sensitive here, but it's at the point where, you know, it's some things are working, some things are not. But I just didn't know how to laugh after they got to the point where they killed a person. Because they showed in the trailer right there, and in the trailer, you know, it looks like these are, they just knocked him out. But in the movie, the back of his head cracks, and you just see the blood oozing
dead
on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. I was like the second he hit what he hit, everybody was like, oh!
Yeah, you heard the crack. It wasn't a crack, it was a crunch. And I was just like, man, I don't know how funny, you know, this is right here with the dead body. But what this is where the movie fell off for me, because it was at that point where when I saw what, the way this guy came in, I said, man, there's some twists that y'all got going on here.
Yeah. The second he walked through that door, I was like, man, come on. I know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
Why make me sit here for another hour?
Yeah. All this suspense that they trying to create in this tension is like, no, y'all. Immediately when he walked the door, I'm like, y'all took the easy way out with this.
Yes, they did.
Which is cool, but and I know you saw that too.
Sure.
Now you talking about things that I didn't see coming in cars.
Stevie Wonder saw that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this shit right here, it was. And that's the thing with the movie, for the weird and odd tone that it sets up. There's a lot of predictable shit that goes on here, right down to the point where I really hate movies where, at the end, to really amp up the climax, they got to bring criminals in out of nowhere. Which is what I predicted when I saw this guy come in, but I was like, shit, man, you know, it's a good thing y'all are really playing up for the laughs, but even right for what y'all did, and even for as weird as this movie is, this is some lazy shit that's going on.
Very lazy. And it feels like, I know we talk about a lot of the time where we don't want people ad-libbing and, you know, just going off the cuff, but sometimes it works. And this one, I feel like they stuck to the script and didn't, and the script was just bad. Like, and the thing is, it's from the people that the guy that was the Scarlett Johansson's husband is one of the writers on this. Is the same people that do Broad City, and that's a show that I love. So going into this, I was like, all right, maybe I'll get more of the same humor, some of the same fun. But no, like a lot of it was, almost 75% of the jokes in this were misses for me.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? And you're right. Here's the writer and director right here, and I love Broad City, man. Mm-hmm. I caught this accidentally one night, and I love the show. So anytime I hear that anybody's involved with that show, I'm looking forward to it. And they do manage to bring it. If you haven't seen it, it's, you know, they have these they're like 20-minute shows.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with being 20 minutes, they got some of the same kind of writing in that show that they do here. But it's 20 minutes, and they got to be fast with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Broad City is a show where it works so well because it's quick. And you're just centered on two characters. And so they're able to build, even though it's really exaggerated, they're able to build some tight chemistry. And those jokes go so fast. And here, they got to work with, you know, a kind of a tainted down script, even though it's a raunchy comedy. And they have all these gaps that they got to fill. Mm-hmm. And those gaps, you know, you could feel them stretching the humor.
Yeah. And the other thing is with Broad City, the two main actors in there are friends. So they actually already have chemistry. But in this, like these people are supposed to have known each other for over a decade. Mm-hmm. And you feel no chemistry in between them.
No, not at all. Not at all. Like I said, it works to a certain extent, but when it gets down to the point where they had to ad lib so much and they had to just fill space, and you could tell, like, yeah, these people got nothing, man. You know, they came in, they had to make this movie kind of quickly, and everybody, you know, they're probably friends, they probably get along, but as far as feeling like they are, like there's genuine chemistry there, you don't feel it, you know. And Martin, what you got to say about this?
Well, but I don't know, guys. I mean, it's such a talented cast, and watch this movie, I laughed once early on and never again. And it's just, this movie is 92% ad lib. And what script is there is just a string of predictable tropes again. Yeah. Yeah. You can tell what's going to be a surprise later. And you have the fiance, Scarlett Johansson's fiance, with his own subplot that's just like, man, this is dead on the vine. It's going nowhere. Y'all keep coming back to it, trying to resurrect that. Nobody cares. It doesn't pertain to the rest of this. I had a bad feeling about this movie from the trailer, not just for the fact that it looks like, and this movie pretty much is, The Hangover 5. But the minute they showed Kate McKinnon as an Australian, I was like, great. This is another movie where they bring Kate McKinnon in just to do cutaways and reaction shots and just say random things, and they're making her Australian just probably because she thought, hey, this will be fun. I'll get to do an accent. Because her being Australian adds nothing to this story. It adds, I mean, it gives him a chance to make a few Australian jokes. And you're like,
man,
I didn't know there's such a thing as Australian jokes. And I guess there's not, because there's one of them that they keep going back to 3 and 4 times.
Oh, and let me tell you something, man. I ain't gonna say that this is even culturally offensive. It's racist. Right? It's racist. I mean, I'm gonna go to that level. For Australians, it's on a racist level. Her character comes in. It's not even a minute when her character's introduced that she goes into her purse and she pulls out Vegemite. I was like, really? Y'all gonna go to that joke? First of all, that's a lame ass joke. It's an obvious joke, and y'all gonna do? You don't even build into it. You know, we don't get to settle
build
in and get
into
to we don't get to settle in and know the character before you start pulling out Vegemite.
Nope.
And followed right after that is Kiwi, which they I know that Australians are not Kiwis, but they keep running that joke. That's a joke you're talking about.
Yeah, they
the
keep
movie.
Running into the ground.
I mean,
the thing is, from what they do have, that could be something. It's what. The friendship between Jillian, what did you say her name was?
Bell.
Jillian Bell and Scarlett Johansson. Because there's some friction in that friendship from way back that gets brought up and actually kind of hashed out 10 minutes before the movie's done. I'm like, y'all wait until now to try to get deep on this with a plot line that was stolen from Bridesmaids to begin with? Please. Get the fuck out of here. Go.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing I can say to disagree with you except that I tell you what, I did like Kate McKinnon in this. And the reason why.
She wasn't as obnoxious as I was expecting. I thought she kind of played it down. I was like, you know what? I thought this character would be super annoying, and it's not. But maybe just because everything else is so lame that it just seems like, all right, it ain't that bad.
How often does she say dingo?
Never.
Never. No. I tell you why for me. Because everybody's talking about how great she was in Ghostbusters. She got on my goddamn nerves in Ghostbusters.
I loved her in Ghostbusters.
I didn't either.
All she did in Ghostbusters was just move real crazy and say weird shit. That was her. She was doing an enchantress without the magic and special effects. You know? Yeah, she do.
But you laughed at that, right?
Yeah, what's that?
You laughed at the enchantress, though.
I laughed at that. Yeah, when I got to her, you know, her lines in the movie just point straight ahead and do what you do. And I was like, man, come on, this is a gimmick. I thought her version of that character was in here, but better done. Something actually had a personality.
Ooh. Until then.
Oh my God! Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm really good.
You sure? Because you landed right on your neck.
Yeah, I just did a sort of straight shot, landed on the neck, snap, and we're back up.
How are you alive right now?
I don't know, but I'll take it.
And that's a line she says in the movie not too many times. She drops it about 3 times, and it's funny when she does it to me. I just, out of all these characters that are, to a certain point, not really feeling believable, or they're obnoxious, or they got these little petty problem. She was the one that was weird as she is. She was like the sweetest one. She just kind of went through everything. She had a charming personality. I enjoyed watching her. She just kind of went with it, and she looked like she was having fun with it. Granted, what you said, making her Australian is obvious. She just wanted to have an accent. Mm-hmm. You know, that was it.
And
but
she does a good job with it, or at least better than I thought. But why?
Well, they say in the no, really, that ain't an excuse either.
It's really not.
I'm like, yeah, they say that Scarlett Johansson made a friend in Australia, but she could have made that friend in Brooklyn.
Anywhere.
Yeah, she could have made that.
She could have made a friend in Boston.
And yeah,
you know, Kate McKinnon wrote this in her contract. Yeah, yeah. I'm doing a voice, goddamn it.
Show my range. You know, you haven't said too much though, Corey. What's up?
Well, no, I enjoy Kate McKinnon a lot. I actually enjoy Zoe Kravitz and Ilana Glazer's character as well. It's Scarlett Johansson and the dynamic between Scarlett Johansson and Jillian Bell, which is the main catalyst of this movie. And that was the part that really drug me back, because Jillian Bell is a fucking mess in this movie. I couldn't stand watching her anytime she was on screen. And I know her character in this movie is supposed to be unlikable, but they made me hate her.
I did too, man. Yeah. I couldn't stand her.
Yeah, it was like, all right. And then, the thing with it is, a lot of the jokes in here, the ones that I like, I did get a few more laughs, and you got more than one. I feel like they were done more of a like, oh yeah, I haven't really seen that done in a comedy movie before. Like, there was a scene in the airport where they're like, we're gonna go out and have fun, and they do something, and you're like, I'm like, all right, that makes sense, because we rarely get to see things happen in the background that are affected by the main characters. I was like, all right, I like that. And then of course I like Ty Burrell and Demi Moore. Those two characters, every time they were on screen, I was cracking up.
Yeah, they made me laugh really hard, man. And look, I know you didn't like the subplot going on with the fiance. The guy who plays him is Paul W. Downs. He's the writer on this. He's also, as you said, a writer on Broad City, a co-writer. The director was also a writer on this, too, which is a woman. I forgot her name. But, you know, what I liked about their story is that the chicks are the ones that are going crazy. When they call the husbands, they're the ones who are kind of having, like, you know, a Tupperware party. You know, they're sitting around like they're really calm. They're the ones who are behaving more like chicks than the actual crazy chicks are. And I kind of like when they went to that. And, you know, and those guys, all of them, they were not as obnoxious, because they didn't have to be, because they didn't call for them to be, as the girls were. And I also liked how, I'm not going to say what happens, but he also gets in a panic, and his story gets crazier and crazier. And that, man, there was something they did at a gas station where it was a bad joke, but the way they wrapped it up at the end, I thought, man, okay, man, y'all saved that, and that was funny. I got a good laugh out of that. It's a movie where I should hate this film, man. I should fucking hate it. And there were certain parts where I was hating it. And then they would bring me back, because I had to be fair. I was getting some good laughs from it. And like I said, not a loud laugh, you know, a good chuckle from it. And I just had to break down and admit, like, okay, you know something? It's 50-50. And for more people, it's probably going to be a better film. But for me, where I was wanting for the things that I hated in here to give it a bullshit, I had to come back and say, you know what? It's a rental. If I was watching it at home, I would tune out the things that are not funny. I wouldn't be upset about it. And then I'd look over there and get a laugh out of something and be like, okay, this is going to keep me from turning the channel or stopping whatever's on.
Right.
So
I 100% agree with you. This is one of those things where if you can rent it and be on your computer surfing, you know, on the internet or doing something on your phone, and then when something pops up, now back to my phone. So it's one of those movies. I did get a few laughs out of this, and I like the dynamic, the little situation that's going on between Zoe Kravitz and Ilana Glazer's character, because I've seen that shit in real life.
They used to have date each other and have a past. They had a past. She's an activist now, and Zoe Kravitz has moved to the city, got a professional job, and married a man.
And has a child. Yeah.
I like the way she just totally disregarded that.
Yeah, I was like, I want to know more about this. I'm like, I don't give a shit about their relationship.
Because ain't nobody about her being a mother in this shit.
That's very true. But yeah, man, it's one of those things where if you rent it, you're at home, you get a chance to catch this, you'll enjoy it, you'll have fun for what it is, but I would not tell anybody to pay a dime to go see this.
No, neither would I. Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, you know, those relationship dynamics are the kind of things that can make a movie like this work, even if it's not that funny, because you're into what's going on. This story is being told, how it's going to play out, at least for me. But the characters were just so inconsistent all the time, all throughout the movie. And as a matter of fact, that whole thing with that stripper, you know, getting killed, they do that so – they're so glib about it. They're glib, then they're panicked, then they're making jokes, then they're panicked, and they sit around like, call 911, call 911, while nobody's actually doing anything. It's kind of frustrating. But thing is, hey, all that means nothing if the movie's funny. And I just didn't find it funny at all. I wanted to laugh. I didn't go to this movie to hate it.
Yeah.
And I just could, outside of probably the airplane joke, and the thing with the husbands, the first time they went to it, okay, those two things were one made me laugh, and the other I got a chuckle. And everything after that, I was just sitting there, I'm going like, okay, now you're probably going to do this, and now you're going to do this. And I was like, yeah, I don't see how I can't give this movie some old bullshit, because it's just not doing anything for me.
I would agree with you.
Until it got to that final plot twist, and I was like, no, you're a fuck you.
Oh, wow. Ooh, damn, a fuck you. Jesus. Martin is just not feeling life tonight.
Honestly, because I reached that point where I was like thinking to myself, because when the minute I thought, oh, this is a fuck you now, and I was like, well, hold on now, are you sure? I was like, okay, what makes it not a fuck you? Well, all right, you got me. I'm going by you guys' word, but hearing that this is the creator of Broad City, a show I've never watched, from watching this movie, I would never watch that show.
It's not your demographic anyway. You know, you probably look at it and be like, these fucking kids.
That old man Gertz over there.
I hate Broad City.
I hate that shit.
Really?
I think it's fucking awful.
We should get them high.
Oh, oh, it's, okay. It's an Adam Sandler movie with girls.
Oh, cut to 20. Get out of here. No, it ain't.
He's exaggerating.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, this shit
it's
is
a girl
not...
sitting on a toilet singing, I shit.
No, no.
Wait, is he lying?
No, that part happens. But Martin. But then Vanessa Williams comes in. And she does the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's done well.
Martin,
it's done well. He's downplaying it. This is one of the highest rated shows on Comedy Central.
Martin,
right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, not that it's gonna help, but he's exaggerating. Watch
I just
it.
Said something that I just described a scene in the show. Did I not?
What, Martin, watch it. Don't watch it tonight, because apparently you don't like anything tonight.
That's not true.
Man, just... go home, go to bed, sleep it off.
It's the medication.
Yeah. Because, I agree with you on so many things in this movie.
Because by the time we got to The Hangover 3, we were like, all right, y'all are not doing anything new with this. I'm done. We can sit through Bad Moms. It's like, okay, y'all taking the same formula, doing it again. It's not fun. And again, here, I'm like... God damn it. Is nobody going to take this and do something with it?
And Martin,
otherwise, just stop.
He's right. There's some things that they can't even get some of the tones right in here. Like when you, that's one of the things that I didn't notice when they were going back and forth. Like, they are panicked at some point, and then things would just drop, and they're like, back to having a bachelorette party, or, hey, let's go take some selfies, and let's go take some pictures. And it's not like, hey, we got to take these pictures for evidence. You know, that's why everybody's like, all right, we got to cover our tracks. I'm like, hey, guys, it'd be fun to do the human centipede.
What is a human centipede?
It's a photo we always take that's like the movie Human Centipede, where they're sewn together, mouth to bum, but it's with friends, so it's special.
I feel like not the appropriate.
Guys, if I don't post a ton of pictures from this weekend, it's going to look suspicious, like we killed someone.
Okay. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think we should do the human centipede.
Okay. I get the middle.
You just kill somebody. You
know, even if you think you're not going to get caught, maybe the moral dilemma of it might be enough to shake you up.
Boy, let me get on out of here before you bring me down to your level.
That is exactly like a scene from Broad City. Right?
Jesus Christ.
That's a scene from that show.
Don't. Yeah, trust me, man. Okay. You recommended things to me, and you've helped me out. I think you like Broad City.
All right.
Gertson.
Puts me in a, okay.
And I mean it's in the best way. You know, you're just an old soul, man. So I understand. Some things are just, you're more advanced than the rest of us. You just don't get some things. I got you, man. You know, hey.
I don't.
Wow, you are the master of backhanded compliments.
Yeah. Not really, because that was obvious as shit.
Oh, that's because it's true.
Yeah.
But I mean it in the best way.
No, you fucking don't.
Check out Broad City, y'all.
He's the only person that I know that does not like that show when they watch it. He's literally the only one. And that's fine with it. You're entitled to your opinion, but...
garbage.
Jesus. Whoa. Well. And I thought you were salty.
He's always saltier than me. His sodium game is out of control. Check his blood pressure.
It's actually really healthy.
Oh, man. You know, you got to stop working so hard. Y'all got to stop spending. You got to start spending some time together. You know.
We do. I watch Broad City. That's what pisses him off.
I usually leave.
Y'all need a date night, man. You know, y'all need some quality time, because he is not feeling life either. You know something, but I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying. It's been hard tonight because this just hasn't been anything that has really pleased everybody here. You know, I've been talking to these guys.
You can't please everyone.
You can't please everyone. But
and I'm sure people are getting tired of us all agreeing on things.
They have been, but I can see these movies just weighing you down, man. The more we talk about them, the more you just seem like a broken man.
Maybe the last one will turn around.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what, you know. Listen, people, we've been talking about mainstream movies tonight. We know that the Cars series has not always been a favorite of ours. I can understand that. I like the last movie, but Martin had a little bit of baggage from the other two and carried it into that review. I understand that. And then
that's not accurate.
Also, now the other thing is that we just saw a lame comedy, and I don't expect Martin to come in. And even though I liked it more than Martin, I do not begrudge you, because there were some things that just weren't working. They just didn't work. They worked worse for you than me. I got that. Can we bring it up maybe with a little bit of culture, the independent cinema? Hey, you know, people take chances with that. They're smarter scripts. They got better performances. And that seems to be the case with the movie we're coming to right now, Beatrice at Dinner. It's done by the people, and let me see if I can actually find this, because it's done by the people who have done a movie that is a favorite of Martin and myself. The movie Chuck and Buck.
Yep. Miguel Arteta.
Miguel.
And Mike White.
Mike White. Miguel Arteta and Mike White. Now, if you haven't seen Chuck and Buck, it's a little bit of a weird film. And a lot of people are saying they didn't like it back in the day. Because the reason why is that it was a movie that made a lot of people feel uncomfortable. It dealt with issues such as, and here it is right here. It dealt with issues such as being a stalker, mental illness, homosexuality, and tried to make somewhat of a comedy out of it. While a lot of critics thought it was good, a lot of people said, I just can't stomach that movie, man.
You know what? I think with today's attitudes towards homosexuality, it'd probably be more accepted now than it was back then.
And I agree with you on that. I think, it was, the movie was, over 10 years old?
Yeah, it came out in 2000.
Yeah. And it was... If people are uncomfortable by a film, that's when Martin says, well, that might just be my thing. Martin, and I'm with him. I love movies that make me squirm, and you do too. And you saw the movie with us too.
Yes, I did.
And this is no different. Maybe it's no Chuck and Buck, but it does deal with Selma Hayek playing a middle-aged immigrant woman, a Mexican woman, who she does a service for this well-to-do family, this they're very wealthy, and they have very wealthy friends who they've invited over for dinner. I mean, people who are billionaires. And there's some very important business going down. But as Beatrice starts to think that she might be familiar with one of the guys that's there, played by John Lithgow, the richest guy there, the guy who's actually going to make the guy who owns the home more money, this guy who has his home because of him, she starts to bring up some sour points that she feels very strongly about, and not only starts to put the dinner at risk, but possibly these people's livelihoods, and it does not feel good. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for Beatrice at Dinner, and you'll see what we're talking about. Just in this trailer alone, there's a lot of uncomfortable moments.
This is my dear friend Beatrice.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Beatrice is a healer.
I do massage, sound therapy, Reiki.
This woman is a saint. It's like birds fly out of the sky and land on her shoulder.
Aw, it's like Snow White.
Can I get another bourbon, hon?
Oh, no, Doug, this is Beatrice. She's staying for dinner.
Oh, you were hovering. I just figured you were part of the news.
Well, I know you.
Doug's famous. He's been on the news.
I don't know why. I think I know you.
Ever dance in Vegas? Thank you for having us at your stunning home. I couldn't be more pleased at how smoothly this whole process has gone. Alex, if any of those efforts were illegal, I do not know you, nor was I even here tonight.
Neither was I, and it's my house.
I would just like to say to Kathy and Grant, thank you for having me.
When I first came to the United States a long time ago...
Did you come legally?
Yes.
Oh, this tenderloin was amazing.
So was the fish, so buttery.
So, Doug, you build hotels?
I just own them.
I always had inside me the desire to be a healer.
Good for you. You're working. You're contributing.
We're going to South Africa in a couple of days. It's true what they say. Those animals would basically be gone if it wasn't for the hunting.
I don't consider it murder. It's like this original dance of man and beast, the struggle for survival.
Are you for real? You killed this... You think it's funny? I think it's sick. Think healing is hard? Try healing. You can break something in 2 seconds, but it can take forever to fix it.
Sounds like you have a pretty tough job.
I think that fate brought us together.
For what?
I don't know. Revenge, maybe? You think that you can hide up here behind these gates and that everything is gonna be all right?
The world doesn't need your feelings. It needs jobs. It needs money. It needs what I do.
The world doesn't need you.
Doug is a great philanthropist.
Shut up, Gus.
Hi, Chihuahua.
Okay, you're done.
Sorry. Thank you very much.
What were you thinking? My relationship with that guy paid for this house.
I kind of feel like I don't even know you.
You don't know me.
Bitch. This can't possibly end well.
Martin, what's up?
This trailer is a completely different movie than what we saw.
Yeah, they do make it seem like it's going to be something sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they do. While it's nothing sinister, it is a lot of tension in there. A lot of it just has to do with Beatrice being out of place at this dinner and being socially awkward. And also, it narrows down to her just kind of having like these staring matches and these vocal sparring matches with John Lithgow's character, who he's Trump. You know, he owns a lot of hotels. He owns a lot of businesses. He doesn't like immigration. He doesn't like illegal immigrants. That's why you saw the way that he was grilling her in the trailer right here. And
he's one of those self-made blowhards who's ultra rich, but he's also in trouble with the law a bunch of times.
Yep. And there are moments where it's just that's where it comes down to, because it's uncomfortable. But at this party, things just stop, because I will say this, Salma Hayek as Beatrice, she's great. You probably have never seen it like this before. She reminds me of Denise a little bit. Who's sitting on that, I can't go lie, because she just goes around the room just staring at people and shit. And she, you know, she'll just say these random things and people just stop and be like, what the fuck is she talking about? Well, you're not thinking this the whole time. Come on, man. Don't lie about it, because I was like, I ain't saying you're exactly like Beatrice, but there were elements of Denise and Beatrice in it. And I said, oh my God, it's her. But Martin, I don't want to continue, because I think that you love these kind of movies, it's fair for you to kind of start off and give your opinion on this.
Oh, okay. Wow, let me take the lead.
Yes, sir.
It's wild. And
refreshing.
It is one of those movies. It's funny, because watching it, I hadn't seen the trailer, so I didn't realize it was those two guys who wrote and directed it. I just know that it gave me that same kind of Chuck and Buck feeling of, man, this dynamic of these people they've put together, it's very uncomfortable, and it's going to be a long night where nobody's going to leave, so you're going to have to sit through it. The main takeaway I got from this is that Salma Hayek is amazing in it. I'd never seen her play, you know, she never gets cast in roles like this. The last time she had a meaty role was probably Frida, which she produced.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, in here, they got her with no makeup, a bad haircut. They try to dress her down, but you can still see her curves.
Oh, right. Yeah. Man, I'm trying.
I was following her ass like a bouncing ball. Back and forth.
Well, there's like one shot at the beginning of the movie where it's just on her ass. Man. I'm like, come on.
Oh, no.
Like, I like it, but come on.
I tried not to look at that ass, but every time, like, especially when she was in profile that, I was like, yeah, I want to get into the movie, but that ass is pulling me out.
I was like, she still got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as they try to take it away from her. And John Lithgow is really great also, because he's this character who's both of them play – they're characters who in real life I find abrasive, like might not want to spend a lot of time with.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought John Lithgow gave this kind of performance where he was detestable, and then there were times there were moments when he seemed very human, so I could really buy the character. And with her being such a new agey person, a new age healer, which is a bunch of shit. I don't buy into all that myself, but it seems a bit much. So it's the kind of thing where throwing her character up like that's enough to go like, oh well, she's crazy. She's awkward. She knows she shouldn't be doing that. But it didn't take long to go like, you know what? She's just a person. She's just not part of their world. As a matter of fact, that's early on when she was talking about her goats. At first, I was like, girl, you can't be having goats. But when she cried about her goat, I felt my eyes welling up. It really touched me. And, yeah, I mean, it has plenty to say back and forth about the class struggle. But I loved it as a character study, especially with her. I just found her character profoundly sad. And I'm sorry.
Well, let me hear what you got to say, man.
Well, no, to kind of echo what he said, the writing in this was amazing. And the thing about it is a huge character study. And I like to see like characters fleshed out. I talk about this in movies all the time where I just feel like we get these 2D people. But in this one, you get to see everybody has their pluses and minuses. Like, yeah, Salma Hayek, she's going that crazy. Everything must be natural and this, and this, and she's keeping goats. But she's making a lot of valid points. And same thing with John Lithgow. Like, he's doing some scumbag shit, but then he makes some valid points as well. So nobody in here is really
typecast as a villain or a hero in this story.
You just ate a lemon right there. Yeah.
So like you got that, and then even the people around them, you get to see the way their dynamics change with each other.
Yeah.
Like the way the husband talks to the wife, and then the way he talks to John Lithgow changes, and then even the way the other guy that was there, like what his role was. So all these characters seem like people you would see in real life, and that was the thing that I really appreciated about this.
Yep. You know, I wish I could be there with y'all on this, but I don't see.
I'm trying to work with you.
You know what? I hate to do this, man. It's like I was.
This was on you.
I accept that because I want to be on that level, because there's a lot of things that I appreciate about this movie. Yeah, the performances in here, they're great, especially Selma Hayek. I can only just follow with what you guys are saying. I can't really add too much to it. She gives a great performance and adds a lot of depth to a character that doesn't have depth, if, in my opinion, because the movies, it has a message. Well, you say it's like it's about the class struggle. It's a class struggle in a very black and white sort of way. And there were just things in this movie that just made me laugh at how cartoonishly stereotypical it was. I mean, the message is that, you know, these conservative rich white people are bad. And this innocent immigrant is so enlightened and good. I mean, it's to the point where, like, John Lithgow and the other man in the movie who are
there's two.
There's two other guys in here. One of them's Duplass.
Jay Duplass.
Jay Duplass. And who was the guy that? Who was the other guy?
The husband.
Yeah, the husband.
Yeah, I don't know.
David Warshawski, I believe. And you can see him right here. I hope that's him. I think that's him. But you know, there are points in the movie where they're hanging by the pool, and they're there for a business deal. And the deal is to build a hotel that's going to cause some great environmental damage somewhere. And they're hanging out by the pool, and they're smoking cigars, and they're practically like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And she, meanwhile, she's looking back, and she's doe-eyed through the whole movie, and it's almost to the point where she really is, she has mystical powers. She can feel pain in people. You know, she's so good that she keeps goats at our house. Because a person killed her other goat, and her neighbor did, and with the movie, I just thought, wow, man, you know, it just feels very heavy-handed with this really talented cast that you have right here. The women are really no much better themselves. You know what they do is they just sit back and they just, if they're not faking interest with each other. Then they're sitting around. The only time they are interested in each other is when they're sitting around gossiping about a friend of the family who has an STD. It was like, I get it, you know.
I think it was a celebrity that had STD.
They knew that person too. Like they're rich people, and I think that it was a friend of the family who is. And even if it wasn't, they're just gossiping anyway.
Yeah.
I see where you guys are coming from. But the big thing was, while you're supposed to be rooting for Beatrice, because, you know, of course, everybody is stereotyping her. She's the help. She's an illegal. She's part of the staff. She's got nothing of importance to say. They cut her off constantly in the movie. There were points where I thought, okay, you know what? These people are assholes. I don't like them. But when they cut Beatrice off, yeah, because she rambles, she's socially awkward, and she's kind of creepy.
Well, but that's the thing, though. That's what I thought kept it from being so heavy-handed. Is like, as much as it seemed on the surface like, oh yeah, she's the noble savage against all these rich assholes. She was awkward in a way that was annoying, and she got told like, hey, stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And then she would try, and her nature would get the better of her, because I was like, yeah, this is like people I know who I think they're good people, they have good hearts,
yeah,
but they do weird shit, and it's annoying, and you kind of like keep your distance from them. But then I think, well, you know what, it's so easy to see somebody and go like, okay, they're just crazy, and type them. But there's more to everybody.
And I was gonna say, I feel like you're saying there's more to these people. Even the wives, like, I felt like they were doing what I think these socialite females do, where they're just, they're out there gossiping about celebrities and things going on in Hollywood. And you even see Connie Britton's character. She's like, listen, I love this lady for what she's done with my family. It's like, all right, you're actually fleshing out a story as to why you're so endeared by, by this person. And then having to be the hand that comes down and says, listen, you got to stop doing this. Like, you can see it's hurting her while she's doing it. And she knows that Salma Hayek's character is just like, I'm trying to do good and I'm messing up.
Yeah, you know what? And I got that. I mean, that's one of the things I like about the movie is that I don't know if it, and see, I'm confused on whether this was the intention, because, you know, the reason why I don't like Beatrice. And I think they want us to. And I don't like her.
That's what I feel like. This nobody in this movie comes out clean. They set Beatrice up to be like a person where I don't know if I should agree with her or not. Because, yes, she has good intentions, but she also does shit that you just shouldn't be doing.
No, and that's it. Because these people are assholes, but I felt more for them than I ever did for Beatrice. I really did not like Beatrice. Beatrice came in.
I don't know if I go that far.
No, I didn't. I did not like her because, as bad as these people are, and I mean, the guys, and I'll tell you why the guys just didn't upset me. It's not against Beatrice or anything. Well, I'll say it right now. Like, John Lithgow's character, it's enough where he's a billionaire. It's enough where he's, you know, he's kind of slightly racist and probably doesn't even know it. But when it got to the point where he actually, oh, and I shoot rhinos too. And I was like, oh, Jesus, man, come on. You know, we don't have to bring every social issue in here. We don't have to make this guy that much of a stereotype. Now, Connie Britton, who plays the wife of whose house this is, I liked her because she genuinely was a good person. That's why things I didn't like about Beatrice. Beatrice turns on you, and we're not spoiling anything. It's on a trailer, but she's really is trying to show her some kindness. The reason why Beatrice is in the first place is because a car broke down, and first is stay for dinner, and then when the car doesn't continue to work, it's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Stay at my home. And Connie Britton's character is trying to be as kind to her as she can.
Kathy, hi. I'm so sorry, but my friend that was gonna fix my VW cannot come until tomorrow morning. I don't know what to do.
Stay here.
I feel bad.
What? Don't you feel bad? Don't you ever feel bad? You could stay right here in Tara's room.
Are you sure?
I insist.
Thank you, Kathy.
The only thing I ask is that you take one of Tara's guitars and you sing us a song after dinner. Beatrice has the most incredible singing.
I need to call my friend to stop at my house and check on my doggies and my goat.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Thank you, Kathy.
Stop thanking me. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Oh. So sweet. She's like, go.
And that's also Chloe Savini, and I think that's Amy Landecker that's in that plays the other two, other two wives. And Connie Britton seemed like the most honest person to me in the movie. And I will say this, while I thought that it was it was way over the top for John Lithgow to be that vile to where he's out there killing wild game, because that's a hot button issue right now. You know, I did think that there were moments where they played it well, because when him and Beatrice were going at it, it was some points where you're right. I don't like the guy still, but he did feel more human.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you know, in the movie, to make you even kind of consider like a vile guy like that, you know, they did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, like is going a bit far, but to see that he's not just twirling his mustache the whole time.
Yeah.
But the fact that she turns on Connie Britton, I think that adds to her character, to see that like the movie is not all about making you go like, isn't Beatrice the best? It's constantly going like, hey, isn't this chick kind of weird? But at the same time, look where she is. Look how awkward the situation is. And honestly, that dinner party, the whole time, I was like, I just got douche chills. I was like, you know what? I'd rather be at the dinner party and get out than at that one.
Yeah. You know, no, it was. But I just, like I said, it was something where the movie played so long. This is good and this is bad. And I would have felt that it was a little more ambiguous had they not put in these elements in there that did push it to a cliche. And I'm not going to say the movie's not worth watching, because I did enjoy it. I mean, I these scenes that make you squirm, these arguments that Beatrice and John Lithgow have, that's substance right there. It is, mm-hmm. you know, and they're done very well. And like Jay Duplass, he's a guy that I didn't like. That's one of the things I'm talking about in the movie where they take it a little bit too far, because in the movie he's so insensitive. Like, he's saying things like, they're like, all right, Chihuahua, and saying all these really ignorant
you got to keep in mind, like, things. Alcohol's flowing this whole party,
he's,
too.
He's super drunk by this point.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't think his writing was that good drunk.
I love the dynamic of every single character, Hal, because the more Beatrice would come in and talk, then that changed how everybody acted, and you can watch it build as it goes. And yeah, Jay Duplass is more like, I'm just drinking and having a good time. He's saying ignorant stuff just because, hey, that's how he grew up. It doesn't even occur to him. And the person I probably hated the most was the husband, because I was just like, man, you're just sucking this guy's cock just for his money.
Oh, yeah.
And otherwise, you're just a big coward.
Hey, man, he's got a big ass house and a mortgage you got to pay. So, you know.
I mean, he just cursed out his wife like the scene before. We're like, oh, now we see where you a bitch.
Yeah. No, he's not a good guy. But, you know, I'm not gonna blame him for, like, sitting up here and trying to make a living. But, I mean, no, they're not good people. And by the end of it, I still don't know. I still feel like there was a message to be had, and I still feel like it was heavy-handed. Now, and I don't like the ending, because it just didn't make sense to me.
The ending, okay, that's where this movie took a turn for me. If this movie probably would have ended maybe 10 minutes earlier, what happens, I was like, all right, bravo, because my jaw was on the floor when that happened. I was like, okay, they went for it.
Yeah.
And no, all right. So
I'm glad they didn't, because it would have been a whole different genre.
Yeah,
me
too. That's what I thought, too. I was like, you'd have to change what genre this movie is.
Yeah, it would have been a Blumhouse movie.
But the thing is, the ending that I feel with that ending, you're like, all right, it's a weird ass. The ending was weird, but this whole movie is weird. So it kind of fits that tone outside of the setting they're going for. But the cop out that they went with, that one just pissed. That made me mad. I was like, wow, we went through all that, and you're just gonna do this?
And it just doesn't make sense. The circumstances that led up to it, like, I don't see it playing out that way. No matter how, and you have to see. And I think that's really what's going to put this between a rental and a matinee for people. It's going to be how they land the film, because there's a lot of things, because I've seen some reviews where people are like, you guys, they're like, man, this is a really good film. Well, even one person like, this is the movie that every white person who doesn't like Mexicans need to see. And I'm like, nah, it's not that. And also, it's not this. I think it's a movie that's probably saying more than even what I realize. I still, though, think it's a little heavy. But there's enough in the movie that made me like it and ride with it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Those great performances, that great dialogue, and some good squirm moments in here. It was even above my comfort level. I've seen movies that go further than this, but I was just kind of, I don't like embarrassment. You know what I'm saying?
Because it was easy to see it through Connie Britton's eyes, where you've been that person who invited somebody to a party where they didn't belong, and you'd hope that they would all fit in, and they aren't, and you just kind of like, what do I do here?
I mean, this is a business meeting where they got a lot going on, and you don't have to like what's going on with them. But Connie Britton, she vouched for him. And at the beginning of the movie, her husband said, hell no, she's going to ruin this. And she's doing exactly what he said she would do. And it really, and to put her in that position, I was like, I don't like seeing people embarrass themselves. Mm-hmm. When she doesn't know when to quit, you can see people just rolling their eyes and like, wow. And I just felt bad for her. I might not like her, but I felt bad for her.
But we've all been in that situation. We haven't been her, but like, we've been that person. Either you're at the party and somebody's acting like that, or like he said, you're Connie Britton's character and you invited somebody just acting a fool.
That Felix level of things. Felix, be quiet, man. you're not reading these expressions right here, but
Felix comes to dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And breakfast and lunch.
That would be a Blumhouse.
Felix moves in.
Hey, guys. Hey, y'all, we're just messing with you, Felix. You know how we are, man. We love you. But it was the ending that toppled me over to the rental part. High rental. Highly recommended rental. If I had just had more of a satisfying ending. And I don't know what you could have done to make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to make the movie. You know, the movie is what it is. They made the movie they wanted to do. So it's going to work for some people. It didn't work for me on that matinee level. And it was teeter-tottering through the whole thing. But I want to praise the movie for the things that it did right. Some of the things that are heavy-handed in here are also some of the things that are very good and artistic about it. You know, some of these, like I said, some of these shots in the movie it's meant to, again, deliver a message that we got. But I do like how sometimes they framed, especially in silhouette, like Beatrice outside of the group. Yeah. How they always had her standing back.
Yeah.
How they always made you know that she was an outsider. And had maybe the movie been a little more subtle in that way, I probably would have thought, all right, man, that's worth the matinee too. But, you know, again, no dis. No, I'm not disregarding. Damn, girl. I'm just. Beatrice's dinner. Beatrice gets a beer. But I'm not going to discourage anybody from going to see this at the if you do decide to see it at a theater. I think it has its place for the right people that really want to see it for the best parts of it.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed this movie up until the very end. The characters in it I thought were done really well, and again we got to see multi facets of them. So you get to see the husband's relationship with Connie Britton and with John Lithgow. You even get to see actually every couple in here. You get to see how their relationships work outside of what's going on in the main story. So you're like, all right, now I understand why you're this way, or I understand why you're just going to get drunk at the party because everything you did is done. Like you just had to set this up. So I appreciated that, and I appreciate that they did not make this what's her name Selma Hayek this holier than thou person, because she has some stuff that, like, all right, you are a crazy person, like you probably shouldn't be keeping goats in your bedroom, you weird. It's that ending is what pushes me back. I was like, all right, I was going with this movie, I was going a full price with this. And I was like, I'm really digging this, and then the way the ending went down, I was like, oh man, why'd you have to do that? So that brought it down for a matinee for me. The writing's great, the character is great, even like you said, some of the framing is great, and I love the way that the party just escalated. And there were a lot of, they could have taken a lot of cop-outs with this, especially with the her having to make that phone call.
They're
like, oh no, that can't be the situation, but you're like, know what, it turned out a different way than I thought it was. This is a solid matinee for me.
Mr. Thomas.
Well, I would say that where you have a problem with the ending, I totally get that. I mean, even I, where it cut off, I'm like, you know, for the most part, I don't like when movies will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I got it. And I saw it probably in a different way. I was surprised by how emotional I felt watching this movie. And even with the ending, I walked away and it stuck with me, and I walked around downtown for a while with just this kind of feeling of sadness. And I was like, man, I haven't had this from
Killjoy Goat.
it kind of killed my goat. And normally with a movie small like this, I'm like, well, you know, renting it is fine. But I thought, yeah, if I'd paid to see this and I paid a matinee, I'd be over the moon for it. I mean, I having a stronger ending would certainly have pushed it to a full price for me. But as it is, it's a very high matinee.
All right. There you go.
No Cars 3, huh?
No.
we're all yelled out now.
I'm tired. Yeah, it's 11:30. I got no beef with y'all no more. Shit. And like I said, we got our own Beatrice in here. How you doing? Ain't seen you in a while. What have you been? See, that's some weird shit. I don't know what the hell she's talking about.
Because she was in a sling last time.
Oh, that's right. You were. Yeah, you got a beat down last time I saw you. You're free now. Good. You fully healed?
Yes.
Nice. I can break your other arm now. Good to see you, though. It's been a while. Oh, my baby over there asleep. Oh, no, he's awake.
He did look like he was asleep.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead, get a blanket and put over there. Tuck him in over there.
Read him a story, Gertz.
Let me see here.
He's old enough to read on his own now.
That was with disgust, too. The hell did you give me? What the fuck is this? Oh, okay. I just got served. This whole time, she just been playing the long con.
The baby is yours.
Oh, you said you wouldn't tell nobody. Oh, let's see. Let's see what we got here. Let me see. And we'll go. Oh,
the way that trailer showed that movie, though, they made it look like a serious ass drama. Like, I'm pretty sure that we watched a comedy.
You want to talk to Rachel? Rachel Reviews. I'm just calling her because she got a long ass email right here.
I like that name, Rachel.
Rachel Reviews. I don't know if that's her real ass name or that's her show.
It's a good Jewish name.
Oh, let's see here. Rachel Reviews is who we're trying to pull up on the line right here now. It was 5 hours ago when she emailed me, so might not be.
She knocked out.
I know. What the fuck is this?
Hello, this is Rachel.
Put Rachel on the phone.
That's right.
Martin, no.
That was hilarious. This is her mother. Yo, put Rachel on.
Oh, I remember that.
That shit was so funny.
Hey, I'm not here right
Damn.
Now. Leave it.
Let's see. Happy well, I'm going to wait to call her later because that's a long-ass email, and I'd rather hear it from her. I don't want to sit up here and have to read that and slow her thing down. Oh, let's see right here. What else we got? Let me see. Hold on, y'all. We got some people that came in with questions at the last minute here. Is there something going on with Jaden Smith playing Batman? Or
oh, there is Batman? A YouTube video or something.
I haven't been on the internet today.
Yeah, I saw that's right, it's your day.
And it said, yeah, Batman soundtrack or something or theme.
I know somebody sent me a link, but I didn't click it. The Jaden Smith is apparently rapping the Batman song or something.
Oh.
Like, because I got a text that said, I didn't know Jaden had lyrics like that. And I was like, what? And they had a YouTube link above it.
Okay, y'all remember Jaden Smith when he was out there wearing that white Batman suit, like mm-hmm. as you just said. And everybody thought, okay, that was just a one-time thing. It was a Twitter thing, and right. he's done. I guess there's a music video out now where he's wearing it, and it's just called Batman by Jaden. I have not seen this. I hope there's nothing old. It sounds like it's new.
I think it's new.
Yeah, I think it is too.
So this is gonna be on the Justice League soundtrack?
I have no idea.
Skull, this nigga's weird.
Okay, Mr. White.
I got some production going on. So. Oh, hell, it's one of these videos that's trying to tell a story.
Oh, no.
Hello? Mr. Wayne, with the rumors of the Batman.
Are you supposed to be Bruce Wayne?
I guess so.
Who am I speaking? This is an inquirer. No, goodbye.
Okay, nigga.
Gotham is in trouble.
Yeah, do something. Shit. The Joker attack. Let me finish my drink.
Batman with braids coming out the front of his mask.
Yeah. He can't wear that shit. He's popping up.
I'll stop you, Joker.
Okay, man. So
can we fast forward? Because he's taking his sweet ass time.
Like, oh, hold on.
He's brooding.
We need to put up a bat signal that says rap, motherfucker.
What the fuck is happening? Credits are rolling. It's like a third of the way through.
Oh, man.
He's in the DeLorean.
That's a Tesla.
Wow.
Batman, please put me on new fashion. I ain't learned nothing since last year. You got the renegade fabrics. Batman, please put me up in a Tesla. I'm trying to be hella Asher.
Batman, heard that you ain't got. Well, got that trap flavor that you love.
This is the chorus. Let's get to the actual lyrics.
Okay. Heard that you king of Manhattan.
Batman.
I think, hey, you like Panda, right?
No.
Okay, all right. I'm about to say, about it has as deep lyrics as this. Watch out, I'm closing the doors. Batman. Okay, this is a fucking troll.
This is Rebecca Black's Friday with a budget.
Yeah.
With Will Smith money behind it.
Friday.
Yeah. Divorce. You ain't ready for the war. Skywalker with a force. 1, 2, 3, 4.
BRTs, we making noise. In the suburb with the boys. On the road, no Royce. Had to save the day every single way. We don't really got a choice.
I don't know. Look, I ain't saying that I love
you don't
this.
Know.
No,
I can't hear what he's saying.
I ain't saying that I love this. I ain't saying that this is my thing, but it don't sound any different from some of the other shit that's out there. It's good. We can judge him because he's Jaden Smith and he's weird. But this don't sound no different, man.
I can't hear it, man. Like
I can't hear another shit that's playing, dude.
But no, prime example, dude. Like one of the biggest songs out there right now is EXO Tour Life. And when I first heard it, I was like, all right, this shit is whack. Like, what are you talking about? And then I actually listened to the words. I was like, okay, there's actually some shit going on in this song that I need to pay attention to. So like, I can't judge it without hearing what the hell he is saying.
Batman.
You saying Batman?
I heard
between
that
between the Batmans.
I was sleeping, he was leaning. We drove right into a precinct. Batman. Why you look flyer than hell? Don't get the album will sell. But this shit might fly off the show. Batman. So fly that you manage yourself. You the one who got a juice. City crying for your help.
I've heard one.
And you're right. I can't hear it too well either, but. Like I said, I can't understand the shit that other people are saying either. So
you got old ears, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
Get an upgrade. Get some hearing aids.
Yeah. I got good taste, too.
We like the same music. Why am I wearing this shirt, dude?
Shut the fuck up. We spilled something. No. No, you know I don't get that trap shit like you do. Don't you bring me down on your level. No. That we have in common. But some of this other shit, you know we ain't never agreed on that.
Yes. A lot of stuff.
Yes. And there's some other shit that we don't. Don't act like that. Don't act like that shit don't exist.
But you listen to some shit that I don't like either. So exactly. I was like, all right, so this is not what one we agree
but
on.
I'm not going to say I'm going to talk trash about this right now because it really doesn't sound, it don't sound any worse than some of the other stuff that's out there.
That's true.
Like you said, we've heard worse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, out your window, look at you can tell.
You're Mario.
Need me to shoot up the signal. I'll be there to get the info. Scrapping through the residential.
Do you feel like really trying to stop him? Like, get the fuck out of here.
It's our turn.
Ah, you know. All right, we get it. I don't know, man.
Do we get it?
Batman. I have no idea why this exists.
Yeah.
Because of Batman.
Because of Batman, because of Jaden Smith.
Will Smith needs to ground his damn son.
That ain't happening. No. He's like, I can't do nothing with this boy.
I renounce him.
What's he done now?
Yeah. Shit, I grounded him. He jumped out the window in a white Batman suit. Ain't nothing I can do with
like
this boy.
Will Smith owes him. No, he put him into After Earth. Like, Will Smith can't really say much or anything.
I feel guilty about this. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants to.
I apologize.
There's some white Batman pajamas and $50 million.
Yeah. Batman dipped in white chocolate. You know, he's always been weird. So that's not even surprising to me anymore.
Batman was a negative. Like this part's black and the rest of his suit is white.
It is. I would even say he's been so weird. That's the most normal thing that he's done lately. So, you know,
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
That's an old video though. Didn't he cut his hair?
Did he? I thought he still had those crazy
braids. No, it's lower than yours now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Does it look like his dad now?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did a face swap a little while ago, and I thought it was Will Smith.
You see that?
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah. His daughter looks more like him, though, which is weird.
Okay. Let me see here. This is from Jad. Let me see. Let me see if I want to read this.
Long-ass emails.
This is a long-ass email again. You know, y'all going to have to shorten this. We don't have time to be reading these long emails.
Got to watch Batman videos.
Got to get home and watch Jaden Smith.
What is he saying?
Batman.
There might be some dope shit in there. Fight with the Green Lantern.
We cut it off too early.
But then it could be like, ew.
The rest of the lyrics are na-na-na-na-na-na. I'll probably like it.
Let's see. That might be it. Maybe it for us. We might be getting out of here. A music question. We'll go for that. Love the music talk when you do it. Was wondering, and I'll put it right here, if you guys have heard of the Brockhampton album. If not, what's your favorite album or single that has been released this year? And not part of the question, but you don't need to read this on the air, but really like They's album that released in February. I think you guys would like it if you're looking for something to listen to. Corey, Like I told you, I don't even know names. I hear stuff today. I don't even know names, albums anymore, because that's the thing with streaming. I don't get to like buy albums like I used to. I don't follow bands like I used to. These sound familiar to you?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea who these people are.
Okay, because I was about to feel like Lightning McQueen over here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with this.
Yeah, but we will check them out. And before we go, somebody's actually giving us a recommendation, something that you might know about. This is Corey. I don't know. Did you send me this now?
No.
Okay, it's because it's from a Corey, and they say a really dope rap group you should check out. And they said that you might like this.
Are they the ones from, is it New Mexico or Phoenix?
Actually, this is a different person, but they're recommending this band that we hadn't heard of before, Brockhampton.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, if you're in need of some good rap music, I'll go ahead and put this up. If you're in need of some good rap music from the shit that they play on, different from the shit that they play on the radio, please check out this song by the up and coming group Brockhampton and see what you guys think. You know what? Since this is the second recommendation, let me go ahead and jump on this right now.
I might know who these guys are, but I don't know their name. Like, I think is this the group that's from, they're from Arizona or New Mexico, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, man. Let me go ahead and skip to it, though, and you can tell me. Maybe you know it. And Brockhampton. It's been recommended to us twice tonight in two different emails. Do people just jump into the song anymore?
Nah, you're the story, bro.
See, no weirder than Jaden, man.
Go in a Stella. I feel like Matthew McConaughey. I don't care for what they gotta say. Tony Perkins, how I dropped away. Jason Bourne with the headshot. Jason Statham with the whip game. Liam Neeson with the rescue. I go Gunner with the leather.
This is different. You know, I mean, like you said, it's your thing. You hear anything? I'm gonna let it play. Do you hear anything different so far?
I'm liking how the flow's going so far.
Okay.
Bruce Campbell with the chains, Tobin Bell with the saw, Anthony Hopkins, I'm eating them raw, they don't know who we are, Miley Shannon, I'm a superstar, ride or die like a sea biscuit, trying to stack like Toby, John Wick, I don't leave a witness, Chris Paul, I'm assistant, Amir Gold, Blake Griffin, give me 48 minutes, we go 04 Pistons, catch a fade like Robert Ory, only time to get the spotlight, D-Ray, I'm top flight, go Obama when I
so if you're, not, if you're listening, there's a bunch of Negroes dressed like Smurfs in jumpsuits, prison jumpsuits. One dude's in a dress. I get an Odd Future thing going on with it, which I like. I like that style.
Yeah, it's interesting. no, it's not bad. I just have to listen to some more of this stuff because sometimes, like that, somebody recommends a song to me and it doesn't hit, but then I listen to something else that they have. I'm like, all right, I dig it.
Yeah, I probably have to listen to this a little bit more. It takes me a while, but I'll try, man. Because I like I said, man, there's a lot of stuff that I'm not into with hip hop right now, and it's just that's just me. And this is going along that lines right here. But not that it's bad, but there's been some stuff I gave it two or three listens, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, maybe. You know, I'll go back and check
this out. I'm the Black Tom Hanks. You can call me nigga Banks. Secret agent Cody Banks. Quarter pound of the dank. On the scale of the stank. Pull my man in a range. I just bought a new Wraith. Nick Cage with the face off.
I like their little different in their style, at least, as far as their visuals. You know,
yeah,
their artistic liberties that they're taking.
Yeah, they're taking some chances.
So, hey, Brockhampton. I'll take a listen to some more tracks by them and see what we think. But right now, we're going to get on out of here. And it's already midnight. We've done a lot tonight. Covered a lot of movies, three films, played some trivia with you guys, had some fun with the people that came in here. And like I said, Martin just tired. He was.
No, you guys want to have your rap hour? You can do that.
He's feeling left out. I'm sorry, man. You know, we didn't mean to leave you out.
No,
man.
It's fine. But don't look at me like, oh man, you tired. I'm like, wow,
no,
I got nothing to contribute.
I was going by what you said earlier. Like that's why I want you to get your coffee.
No, I had some caffeine earlier.
Okay.
I knew it was going to kick in. That's why I didn't want to go get coffee.
I'm just saying the movies, you know, was two of them that just broke you down tonight, man. It was not a good week for Papa Tom. Thomas over here with the motion pictures.
Hey, it's going to kick up next week with Transformers.
Oh, yes, Martin. We're going to have a good time with that. It's 3 hours. So, Martin, it's going to be epic.
That might be. Will that be the only movie we have? No. You got so. That, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, but we won't be reviewing it that week.
Oh, No,
well, maybe so. And Martin is going to be so huge. That's all we need.
Nah,
we,
that's true.
Get, hey,
at 3 hours.
Get three. Hey, get your caffeine, brother, for the review and for the movie.
Yeah.
And people, let's go ahead and get y'all out of here. Now, as I keep telling you, go to doubletoasted.com. That way you will see. If you're new to this, we have, or if you're watching on YouTube, this is a website, actually, where we live stream our shows over there. Got so many levels of interactivity when you watch our live shows, which happen almost every night of the week now. And when you do watch a live show, like I said, you can be called in on the show. We will read your email. You can be a part of the show. That you can be the fifth Beatle around here. And try the service out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. But we do hope you stick around. And if you don't, keep the audio. That's fine. You can find us on SoundCloud and now iTunes. And before we go, let me see here. Somebody said, this is, I thought they were talking to me. I said, don't get me to explain it. Somebody said, I need Corey to explain Trap to me because I think it's the biggest piece of shit, non-talent-ass style of music out there.
All right, all right. Calm down.
Hey, it's just a style of music. That's how you feel. I can't explain it to you.
I hate that when somebody says, like, all right, tell me why this is so good. It's like, well, you clearly have your mind made up already.
Boy, this is a historic night when Martin comes in and gives Trap music a full price, better than any reviews that we had tonight.
He said stall him out.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, that's the best review we did tonight of Trap music for Martin. But, yeah, people. That's right. You know, just real quick, we have our third year anniversary weekend celebration coming up August 4th through the 7th, the wee hours of the 7th. And get your tickets now, $25 for 72 hours of fun, including the live shows, the parties, the games, the meet and greets, lunch and brunches, all kind of stuff that we have planned for you. Go to partydt.com. Over there, you will see details with more details to come, including more about our poster and video contest, short film contest. And check out the whole nine. I got to know the details first. I'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it tomorrow or whatever, Sunday or something. But we are trying to get the hostel for you, too. I mentioned that over and over again. We'll have more of that. Oh, that's right. And they said I was going to forget real quick, because I don't want this to be a big spoiler for anybody out there. Just real quick. Okay. I'll say goodbye, then we'll come back and say the spoiler for Cars. The Midnight Chat Attack every Saturday, 7:30 p.m. to midnight Central Standard Time. And you can go in there and talk to them the regular way by chatting in the chat box. But if you go over to YouTube, you will see that they have their streaming video channel there, and you can see all those beautiful faces behind all those ugly insults. The Midnight Chat Attack every Saturday, 7:30 p.m. to midnight Central Standard Time. Thank you, Gertz.
Thank you.
Thank you, Goodwin.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Thomas.
You betcha.
And also holding the couch down is, welcome back, Denise, now with two arms, two functioning limbs, and Diego, my son. How you doing, son? Good to see you. He's awake. And stay tuned for the real quick, very quick spoiler discussion about Cars 3. But before we go, got to let the people out there know, those who are at home, how you can be a part of the show. Easiest way to do it is to start out by getting a keyboard and typing kcoolmans@gmail.com. Oh, let me get my music in here. That is kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You email us, ain't got questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and or advice. Not like to be a part of the show? It's too late. We're done. We got more shows coming up, though. The High Score on Saturday. Sammy Ain't Seen Shit on Thursday, and starting it back again on Sunday with the Sunday service. If you'd like to be part of any of those shows, in an email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there, press send, bam, up in your home, criticizing you, the only critic in the world who do house calls, on Twitter, at KCoolMan, on Instagram, at Double Toasted Fan Page, on Facebook, type in Double Toasted. If you'd like some private critique time with me, type in Corey.Coleman.5. I will pop right up and try to help you. But if I'm too busy, then this Corey can help you.
You can find me on Facebook, Corey.Goodwin.5. You can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv, The High Score DT, all one word. Or on Instagram, DB Cooper KG Pegertz.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz. Twitter, Patrick Gertz at Pegertz. And on Instagram, at Pegertz, Mr. Thomas.
Maybe you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro. Or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And while you're there, check out and join the group, The Children of the Toast.
Or you can come on down here and check us out in person. Let us check you out in person. And that would be at the world famous Double Toasted Studios. We're over there. Look at that lovely crew. And You just email us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let us know if you're going to be visiting Austin. Let us know if you're going to be moving to Austin. We couldn't blame you. It's nice here. And you might be living in Austin and you didn't tell nobody. That's where it gets a little weird. Now, let us know. Come see a show. kcoolmans@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll send you an email back. And we will accommodate you. All right, everybody. That is it. Again, stick around for the spoiler talk. Very brief. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you're listening to or watching this, goodbye. And stay cozy.
Batman, Batman.
Batman. Y'all see, it's catchy, right? It's in your head.
No.
Yes. See, there it is.
Now that's catchy.
Yeah, we're getting the Nickelback version of that.
Look at my Batman.
All right, just real quick, people. What happens, because this can be summed up very quickly, and you'll find out why we disagreed on this. So in Cars 3, the end of the movie, well, the lead up to it, it has Lightning McQueen doing everything that he can, training very hard to be a champion again.
Everything that he can except get upgrades or listen to his trainer.
But there's probably reasons why. And listening to his trainer was probably a good thing because he had his own way of doing it. And it's a good thing that he didn't listen to his trainer because he became enlightened and realized that, you know, Cruz Ramirez, who is his trainer, the other car, she's always wanted to be a racer. And because of, I guess, car sexism and because she just wasn't given the chance, she never got to be a racer like all the others out there. But just as good, and through the whole movie, Lightning's being selfish, not really listening to it, but he does notice that this girl knows what she's doing. And through the adventures, she shows the skills. So the movie plays to where it's this big comeback for Lightning. And you, and to me, y'all say y'all bought it. To me and Gertz, you said it too, that right when you thought that he's going to have that moment where he wins, it's going to play out like just any average sports comeback movie, he decides that, you know something? This shouldn't be my moment. I don't even know if I'm going to win this. I should probably let this be. I should move back and give this to somebody else. Even though it's my last shot, I'm going to give this to Cruz and let her do it. And, you know, she comes through. And she learns that she's the champion that she always was afraid to be and finally became. Now, I like that because I didn't see it coming. I thought that it was also it was a bittersweet message. It said, you know, all this thing about telling kids, believe in yourself, you can be anything. This movie says, no, you can't. You know, you cannot be anything. But at the same time, if you make a sacrifice, be kind, do things, you might find another calling in life that might be better. With her, it was also good to see that, yeah, you know what? Give somebody else a moment, and maybe they can be something if given a chance. And maybe you need to sacrifice for that to make somebody's life better, help them achieve their dream after you maybe had it. I just thought it was a sweet message, and I thought it played out in a way that, you know, I don't think that. Even a lot of Pixar movies have been really that bittersweet with their messages. That's why I liked it. Real quick, you want to say?
I liked it. I mean, you brought up the Martin that you didn't feel like it addressed the cyclical aspect of it. I thought that's what I liked about the ending because I felt like it did. It almost went a little too heavy handed with it because he gets that new paint job to look like Doc at the end of the movie. And I was like, I think you're taking it a little far. But I liked that he found a way to still be a part of something that he had passion for, just in a new capacity for it. And again, I didn't see it coming right when I really should have, because they do like foreshadow it a lot. So it didn't feel like it came out of nowhere for me either. So I liked it, honestly.
And I'll be honest with you, and I'm not just saying this to backpedal anything, but even if I think I got it and I saw it coming, we see a lot of movies. And I think a lot of people who don't see as many movies as we do, and they wouldn't see it coming. And I think it would be cool for them. What do you guys
think? I think anybody can see this coming. Let me know.
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm saying that sounds like an asshole thing to say. I'm not trying to be. I feel like a lot of people will see it coming because the first scene you see with her is people remarking at how fast she is. So you're like, well, fuck, I know what's going to happen at the end of the movie. And then there's even they drop not even subtle hints throughout the film of I'm just as good as you guys, but I don't have a chance. So you're like, all right, I know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen with Lightning, and she's got to step in and take over.
I could see those things, but I just didn't think. I thought she was going to get a moment to shine. I didn't think it would be a big sacrifice like Lightning did.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And they make a point of showing that she's fast, but not as fast as Lightning is. And he's old, so I guess that's why I didn't see it coming.
I think it's fair that we don't see it coming because I thought that they would be a team or something.
No,
you know?
They actually show that over and over again. That's what I knew. The moment she comes on and says, I wanted the race, but they wouldn't let me. They don't let people like me race. And I'm like, well, you're a car like everybody else. What do you mean? Oh, because she got a female voice. Or maybe because she's – well, maybe the car circuit is racist. But every time they're doing these – their trials, she's always beating him every time. And that's why I was like – by the second time she – when she first mentioned, like, they wouldn't let me race, I'm like, all right, they mentioned that for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to come back. Mm-hmm. By the second time that she beat him doing something, I'm like, yeah, they're going to do it. But I was like, all right. But if they didn't wait to the end, like somewhere in the middle or beginning of the third act, it was him acquiescing and going like, you know what? You're just as fast. You're faster. I can train you. You can do this. I could take it. But throwing the wait until 10 minutes before the race is over, throwing her in, and then she's the Mary Sue where she comes in is looking around like, oh. But somehow she's faster than all these other cars. I was like, all right, now y'all hit my bullshit. Man.
And the other thing, when you see her on the treadmill and training, he said, who is he? And then you find out it's a female. I was like, that's it. Because you're like, all right, I understand now.
They never kept her from racing. She says she didn't do it. She got on the track. And when she retells the story, it's not like, oh, they wouldn't let me do it. She said, I went out there and I felt like I didn't belong and I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Can I tell y'all something real quick? Hold on. Don't come in here with that. I need time. I need my time back for this lame ass spoiler. You know, don't get mad.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, fuck you, man.
Yeah,
you
we know? Told you we didn't want to do it in the first place.
Yeah, we told you know. Yeah, everybody asked for it. We told you wasn't that big of a deal and wasn't that big of a twist. We were just in disagreement about it. And I don't. And by the way, I don't know. No. I was gonna say I don't know if you're talking about us in the movie, but no, you're talking about I need my time back, motherfucker. You asked for it. You know, how's that for a spoiler?
And we gave you every opportunity to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Don't come in here with that shit. You know what? And somebody else said, what the fuck were y'all expecting? Yeah, we told you. You
this
know what?
Fucking car. Yeah. Somebody got shot at the end of this movie?
What? Yeah, what the fuck did you expect? Like the cars to turn to fucking humans or Transformers or something? I mean, what the fuck you want?
That Owen Wilson car just opens up and Owen Wilson himself walks out. We were joking about that amongst ourselves before we saw the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey, guys.
No, motherfucker. You got a picture with somebody with a gun. Stick that gun up your ass because you played yourself here, son. You know, don't come up here and blame us for that. We told y'all. Hey. And this was optional. You
know? After the show.
Yeah, right. We ran credits and everything. Yeah, I bet y'all now. I bet you expect this shit coming. There's your spoiler. Hey, you know, come on, man. And I you know what? I'm going to end it on that note. Because you can't really top that shit. Yeah, trying to have a. I don't even know we used to be having this deep discussion about these goddamn cars anyway.
I said, don't do it.
I know. I blame myself. All right. Good night. thanks, Chef. Hey, Barks, I'm just messing with you, man. But you know, come on. Come on, you know. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you later.